When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special.
Yeah, let's do the best show, right? Is everybody here?
Yes.
Yes.
I'm here.
That's Mike. Mike's here. Yes. Pat's here.
Present.
Jason's not here. No Jason this week, so we...
Tom, I'm here. I'm here.
Okay, Jason's here. Okay.
Yeah.
So everybody's here, and it is the best show, and we're doing it, and I don't know if anybody heard, but we are in the middle of a... pandemic, and things are a little different, and we were just talking before we started the show about just kind of coping with everything. And I know it's at the point where it's kind of boring to talk about, but it's also reality, you know what I mean? It's such a strange thing to have to be like. I know this is boring, but it's everything that's going on. Like, what else? Like, how can you not address it sometimes? And I don't know, but you want to enjoy things in life that don't have anything to do with the quarantine and the COVID. And but it's always there, so it's always going to kind of weigh. It's always going to inform everything. Is this dirty? Dirty pandemic that is making it so that you can't go to the quick check like you used to and just walk in.
Yeah,
I'm sure you still can. You can still walk into the quick check, right?
You can't just walk in.
You're describing my life right now.
Yeah, I mean, I've heard and I mentioned this a little bit, I've heard that in Bayonne it's a problem that the criminals now feel that their territory is being stepped on by, because everyone's got a mask now.
Yeah.
You can't just walk into a place. They feel cheapened by it. They feel like...
I thought about this the other day. I'm like, why isn't there like just crime spree? Since there we're
is.
All...
There is.
There? Oh, is there yeah. a crime spree?
Yes. There,
it's being downplayed.
Mike, you might not notice it in Bayonne.
Yeah. Yeah, it's happening behind the scenes in Bayonne. But
no, that's just called a Tuesday night.
Yeah. Here in I'm in Brooklyn in Mindy's corner. She lives on a pretty busy corner, but like the fact that it was always busy and kind of like a 24-hour corner made it so like there wasn't, you know, there was a very mild, if not unnoticeable, amount of graffiti prior to this. Flash forward to like just a couple weeks ago, you know, amongst like a month into this thing, everything was bombed, like tags and just everything, every inch of everything is covered. And you're just like, what the hell? It looks like 1977. It's crazy. It's like
a pre-Giuliani New York.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. It's like, yeah. And I mean, it makes me nervous, you know, cause like I walk the dog twice a day and, there's no way to keep up with it. And there's no way that people can be out there cleaning graffiti.
Yeah.
You know, it's like not safe. So like, just like you have to, at some point you just have to admit defeat to it. I can't even imagine the subways right now, what's going on there. But like, I haven't thought about riding mass transit since early March, but I'm sure like, some stuff going on in there too.
You know, the thing, my problem with graffiti is that how do you get good at it? Like, like where are you practicing your graffiti skills when you tag a thing and you put your tag up and all the stuff? Just like, I just picture needing practice at first.
Right.
Is there just like, are there just like walls that people tag for practice that nobody's seeing?
Probably.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I think they do it on the covers of their notebooks in school.
Yeah.
But and then, with that spray paint can?
Well, yeah. You gotta...
I feel like I would choke.
Yeah, finding the finesse with the can has got to be a whole thing. Like I want to be clear, like I... You know, all those like really cool, giant like murals of, you know, kind of like, you know, big like 70s, early 80s style lettering. Like I love all that stuff, but like this isn't that. This is like really horrible, quickly done, just vandalism graffiti, you know?
I say, tell me where to practice. I'm ready to enter the graffiti game.
What's your tag?
I'll figure. I don't know. I want to get. I look at graffiti sometimes, and I'm just like, man, I don't have the courage. I wouldn't have the courage to just be like, well, I'm gonna do some graffiti now.
What did that bathroom say the day of your car accident?
Oh, it said, don't. Pig, it had pig in it, toilet, it had pig and toilet in it. And yeah. That's when I was like, I think I did die in this car crash and I'm in hell right now.
Wasn't it like wipe the seat pig or pig, something?
Yeah. Wipe S off seat, brush pig. That was a fun night. Election night 2016 when I got in a good old fashioned car wreck. And on the Jersey Turnpike, and I just still remember that cop not believing me when I said a deer ran out.
Oh my God!
It seemed like a lie because I've never seen a deer. The first time I ever saw a deer on the turnpike is when it was in front of my car.
Like, yeah, great.
Is it 13 around Elizabeth? You don't see deer around there,
right?
No way.
You got an airport. For listeners who don't know New Jersey, if you've ever seen those shots of that incinerator that's constantly burning and all that stuff, and you know, right by Newark Airport. This is where we're talking about. That's exactly where this
that incinerator
happened.
Is so creepy at night.
But there's no deer. You know, it's not like.
What if it's run by deer?
And there's even there's barriers up around there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No,
it's incredibly rare what happened at time.
Barriers everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's these incinerators that burn all night and day, and it feels like a dystopian science fiction movie. Like it's like Blade Runner or something, where it's just like it's like yes. It's where did we go wrong that this is our world? And that's actually how it is there. And that's actually, to me, when people would badmouth New Jersey, they were talking about that. Like they see that from people who think New Jersey is just that are only flying into Newark Airport and then taking a cab to Manhattan. And
right.
So they only see this one part of the state that is literally the ugliest part of the state.
100%.
It's a huge state, and they're seeing this one stretch that is truly disgusting. And then I get why people are always just like, oh, New Jersey, with the pollution. It's like, no, it's not. It really isn't. But yeah, okay, I get it. It is for that one stretch. But you think you actually live in that,
that
world?
And like, you know, in our defense, like, we didn't put it there. Like, it's pretty bad of our state to you know, road structuring of that, of the turnpike to place that place right next to it and an airport. I mean, it's pretty bad city planning or whatever went into it, but, you know, it's there. We can't move the highway.
It looks so different during the day than it does at night.
Well, during the, because I would say one part of why it looks different at night is because the smokestacks are on fire, and
yeah,
that lights up the night when you see these flames coming out of the tops of the stacks. It looks like some sort of weird industrial city that is just from like I said, from a bad sci-fi movie.
Mm-hmm.
That you just picture. Look, I always pictured people being in there running it, maybe imprisoned or whatever, but now you've put the image in my mind, Jason. Now I just think there's deer in there. I think you hit on something.
Yeah, with hard hats.
Yeah.
Some flannels.
Yeah, why not?
And one just had, one escaped.
Yeah.
One escaped, yeah. He wasn't looking to eat in the cafeteria. He was going to go over to the Arby's. At one of the rest stops.
He was going to the Molly Pitcher Arby's.
Yes, and then he was upset about the election, or he was happy. Maybe he was happy. He might have been going to celebrate, because we heard Trump won. Trump won Virginia, and went to go celebrate, and then he ran into my car.
And so, by the way, when the cop didn't believe you,
mm-hmm.
Was there at least like evidence on your hood or what remained of your car? Like, you know, like fur, there had to be something.
There was some, there was not a lot, but there was enough that the cops saw that's what it was. And he was like, all right, that's weird, but I do see some evidence there. And once he was clear, I had not been drinking, which is also amazing that he didn't put me through like the paces with that, to be just like, let's do a breathalyzer or something, because it was like election night.
Yeah.
There would be a pretty high percentage that people would be
drunk driving. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Like, but he didn't. So, I credit that with the fact that I am a white person.
Right.
Yeah.
Because there's a special thing in New Jersey. Look, I know New Jersey cops. I'm related to New Jersey cops, and I'm not just blindly going after the cops. But I will say, in New Jersey, there is a game you can play whenever you drive around and you see someone pulled over, and you're like, you see a car ahead of you, you see a cop car and civilian vehicle pulled over, and you're just kind of like, what are the odds that that's a white person in there? And then you drive past, you're like, no, it wasn't. See, I won the game again. It seems like there's an inordinate amount of that going on. Have you ever noticed that, Pat, mm-hmm. or Jason? Yep.
Absolutely. I actually found the graffiti, by the way. I pulled it up.
You found which graffiti?
What the graffiti said in the mirror with Tom?
Yes. It says, pig, use the brush. Then there's an arrow, clean S on toilet.
There it is. Yeah. I saw that after my life flashed before my eyes. I had just heard that they were calling it for Trump, and then got in my car, got in the accident, then had to get in a tow truck and go to a place in like Elizabeth where the New Jersey tow, because it was on the turnpike, they have these state sanctioned tow truck drivers. Anyone with a tow truck can't just go on the turnpike and tow cars. They took it to a place that is like state sanctioned, and they were very happy about the election there. Mm-hmm. And then I was sitting there and then I saw that graffiti when I went to the bathroom, and that was that just capped the night off for me.
And that was real foreshadowing of things to come, wasn't it?
Well, yes and no. I mean, look, I think Trump is, I would give him at this point a B-.
He's like a Manassas album.
Yeah.
He's like he's like Pat reviewing a Manassas album.
Oh, God.
Everyone else thinks it sucks. And then one person sees it as completely awesome. And you're just like, what? You heard the same thing I heard, right? So, I don't know. It's such a strange. It was a strange night, and it kind of kicked off this strange time that has not stopped being strange.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember going. I went to the VIP diner with you and Claire. Claire O'Kane. She was a guest on the show that night. And
also, I will say that it was a show that we all worked very hard on election night, 2016. It's one of the best things we've ever done on the show.
Yes.
I believe.
My favorite things we ever did.
Absolutely. And it's a show that no one heard because it's depressing. Because Trump got elected.
Yeah.
And we basically decided we were going to pretend that it was 2006, that we were playing a best of episode, like a lost episode or whatever.
And you played all the old bed music and everything.
Old bed music, old callers.
And we threw our voice.
Mm-hmm.
Just worked so hard on it. Did such a great job, and it was so much fun, but we also were doing it not thinking that the night was going to end the way it did.
No.
So we went in and suddenly watched the world just change like that, and then it just became immediately not funny or fun, and we had to keep this thing going. It's just the strangest, it's the strangest show. I understand why people might not gravitate toward it, but it's something that I'll always be, really proud of. I thought we did something so nobody else would do a thing like that, but we did it. And the unfortunate part is it's so associated with this massive bummer of a horror show that nobody wants to be reminded. But if you're up for it, go listen to the election night 2016 show on the archive, and you will hear something that's pretty pretty special.
A lot of it was pre-planned, and a lot of it was just we were just kind of winging it as the night went on, because I remember at certain points in time you would come in and check to see, because I was watching the returns at the desk.
Yes. What was that website? It was like 50, 40.
What'd you say?
537?
Yeah, 538.
538.
Yeah, 538.com. I was watching that, and all of the polls just started to shift, and then they started calling the other states for Trump, and you would come out and check with us. And as that news became bleaker, kind of the storyline that was unfurling in this episode kind of took that tone.
Yeah, because now we were talking, like, I could talk as if I was in 2006 and talk about the future.
Yeah.
And how the world was going to get uglier. And, yeah, it was kind of cathartic, but it was also just straight up depressing and terrifying.
And you were getting really upset. I could tell I was annoying you as Todd from Union City.
Yeah, you kept calling, and it was just like you were embodying truly.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
The worst kind of caller trying to get under my skin. And even though I knew it was you,
yeah,
I was fully aware it was you.
Right.
I was still just like, oh, I want to murder this guy. And it's like, wait, no, that's a guy that produces the show. Right. He's calling from 10 feet away. Like, he's not, like, but it still was getting to me. Because the whole night was getting to all of us.
And then the Pat storyline of, like, him being a time traveler. Yeah. Everything worked out, man. Everything that I'm very proud of that show.
We'll retweet the show on the Best Show feed this week. Like,
repost it on the Best Show feed.
That's a great
idea. Exactly.
Yeah.
And people can relive that and check that out. But it was,
You know what? Why don't you do that for the Best this week?
Just reach for, I mean.
Full show.
Full show and Best, maybe.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Just put it up.
You know what I also love is that I've been getting a couple emails, Jason.
Oh, God.
People writing, saying, somebody said about because we're doing this other show called So Far, which is a Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young album by album, year by year, chronological recap of the entirety of their body work. We're doing it as bonus content for people who support the Best Show over Patreon, and a couple episodes are up for everyone to hear. You can just get those over at bestshow.net, right? Thebestshow.net.
Yeah, they're up there. They're up in the regular feed.
Yeah, so you can get those. But then people are saying, somebody wrote, they're like, they said that the Jason, he's acting like who died and made him Neil Young, is what somebody what? Wrote.
They were like, no, they did not.
I swear, they were just like, he's giving Pat the business. They're like, Jason's really giving Pat the business. I can hear it growing. Who died and made him Neil Young?
If they can hear it growing in episode 0 and 1, just wait.
Oh, yeah. No, I think these are people who heard the... who are hearing they're up to speed.
Okay.
But I'll say this. I've gotten also people just saying, like, go for it, Pat. You go.
Yeah.
Just like, they're like, I love that Pat. I love Pat's role in this whole thing.
He's I'm going.
He doesn't care.
He's the contrarian. Yeah. Surprisingly, he's the contrarian. He likes this stuff that nobody likes.
But
he doesn't really think that much of Neil Young stuff, so he's the contrarian.
That's the thing. Like, I look.
No, he loves.
It's not going to last very long. I mean,
I'm not going to say anymore. I'm going to let people just listen to it.
Somebody tweeted out. They said, the fact that Pat ranked the second Manassas album higher than On the Beach makes this a podcast I cannot miss.
Yeah.
This is going to provide months of listening that I cannot wait. And that's what it needs. It doesn't need this thing of just being like everybody's just in lockstep saying the same thing over and over. I got in a thing on Twitter the other day where I said, I tweeted the most innocuous thing you can tweet. I was like, my favorite Wu-Tang solo album, the best Wu-Tang solo album is Ghostface Killah, Fish Scale. What do you think it is? What's yours? And I never got more pushback from people saying, like, you're trolling us saying that Fish Scale is the best one. You clearly don't know what you're like. People were so angry at it.
Uh-huh.
The thing is, it is my favorite. I'm sorry. Uh-huh. I'm sorry. My favorite is not the one that is like this. There's this other album, Supreme Clientele, which is also great. I'm not saying everything else is terrible. And this, I didn't say there's only one good one. So it's my favorite.
See, I like Old Dirty. So
yeah, me
people
too.
Would probably come
like
for me.
Too. I like his two albums also. His whole
those are like top for me.
You talk about like Liquid Swords. The Jizz album, Liquid Swords, both ODB albums, Bobby Digital. There's five amazing Ghostface albums. There's Only Built for Cuban Links, the Raekwon Ghostface album. Like, it's just like, yeah, I get it. But my favorite one happens to be this one. I had this one guy, like, who's just like, I was like, well, no, it's my favorite. You like whatever you want to like. And he couldn't accept that.
Something's broken in people on the internet. Like, it was bad. It was bad before this pandemic, but something is broken.
Yeah. He was pushed. This guy was like, and then I wrote a sarcastic thing saying like, yeah, after, you know, you're right. It's not my favorite album. I think it stinks. My favorite one is the one everybody likes. I apologize for being wrong. And then he's like, yeah, finally this guy, admits his thing. It's just like, well, you're just straight up dumb person. You're like a dumb guy. And then I like look at his bio and I'm just like, and naturally, now I'm going to say this. I've been here in Los Angeles. I got a good feel for this place now. These LA sports fans are some of the dumbest people. One of the dumbest, most deluded communities. They act like everybody, like they approach everything like a 9-year old. Like these are my heroes and they're the best that ever were around and anybody else they're the greatest. If they wear the gold and the gold and purple, they're the greatest and they're heroes and you don't ever. It really is like they're acting like it's a Batman or Spider-Man, like that they're heroes.
Yeah.
So I look, and this is some LA sports fan. I'm just like, yeah. So of course this guy's a complete dunce. He's a Lakers fan, and it's like the world Lakers fans. It's like the world's dumbest cult. It's like a cult that you don't even get like. Any of like basic benefits you initially get at being a part of a cult.
Is Jack Nicholson the leader?
Oh no, the leader would be because they all talk about the like Jerry Buss, like the guy who died, who used to own the Dr. Buss, the great Dr. Buss. It's like Dr. Buss. It's like the way these Patriots fans are always like, well, Mr. Kraft says this, like they talk about the owner of the Patriots as if he's like better than well, it's understood that he's better than all of us. Mr. Kraft, Mr. Kraft is a busy, he's not even smart enough to not get busted at an $80 Jack Shack.
As a Mets fan, it's a complete opposite here. They can't stand the owners. There's no respect at all for them.
Well, that's the thing with the Knicks. Everybody hates
them. Yeah, the Knicks too, yeah.
They're just like, it's like, yeah, Dolan's an idiot, and the Wilpons are idiots. And it's just like, I never saw anything like it. And I looked and I was like, of course this moron that can't understand sarcasm or any sort of subtlety the basics of subtlety. Of course, he's a Lakers fan. The dumbest thing. They're called the Lakers. You know why they're called the Lakers, Mike?
Silver Lake.
How many lakes you think are out here? How many lakes you think? You know, everybody always talks about the lovely lakes in Los Angeles. No, they were from Minneapolis Lakers.
All right.
And they just kept the name Lakers. Why do you think they named Utah Jazz? Everybody's really big on that Salt Lake City Jazz scene.
It is a good scene.
No, they were the New Orleans Jazz.
Yeah.
And then they moved, and then they kept it as the Jazz.
Yeah. I think people are just spending too much time on the internet now. You know, they got the conspiracy theories are coming at us left and right. You know, I've talked about that before, but it's just, people are getting frustrated, and people are taking it out on internet. I think that's part of it.
Yeah, this ain't a good time. It ain't a good time. It's just, people are mad.
And I taped a beer can to my face. I think I got more likes than I ever got before.
Yeah.
There's too many people wasting time on the internet lately.
That could be your cameo, though, man. Those types of videos.
Yeah.
I'll say this, Mike. You're always talking about your brand and your this and that and the marketing team and all the stuff. I think you're not joking. I thought you were joking. I don't think you're joking anymore. I think you put the thing out.
Uh-huh.
You taped a beer can to the face that had glasses on it.
Yeah.
And suddenly you're getting like people legitimately excited about it.
Hundreds of likes. I'm like, really? And then I think I did one where I was so proud of this tweet. I can't even remember from a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And like nobody even responded to it. So I'm like, I can't figure it out, you know?
No, but then you did figure it out. You taped a beer can to your face. you realize the world is looking for,
that's what they're looking for. Yeah.
They want Tiger King and they want beer face. Hey, I wonder if Beerface has a new video up. His name's on Beerface. I don't care. He's Beerface to me.
Are you going to do a second Beerface video?
I don't know. I mean, it was kind of sitting right in front of me. You know, for whatever reason, Coors put out these cans, these new cans with sunglasses. You can't see it in the photo, but the word chill is spelled out behind the glasses in Coors Mountain Blue.
Mm-hmm.
So some marketing guy came up with that for this summer. And, didn't take a lot of work to, you know, to think of that one. No. But it did, you know, believe it or not, I did. the can wasn't sticking well, you know. And so at one point I actually did cut out a triangle so my nose could go into the can.
Mm-hmm.
But of course there were sharp edges and it was getting a little too dicey.
Yeah.
So that didn't work.
Mike, you do not want to end up in a hospital right now for a beer can.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Yes. Yeah. That thought crossed my mind doing it. I was like, yes, I'm going to put the can down now. Uh-huh. I'm not going to go any further with this attempt. No. But yeah, no, I mean,
that's. Mike, I got to go the other way. I'm sorry. You got to suffer for your art. Your beer, you think this beer face is now pulling his punches. Beer face is thinking about personal safety above his audience.
And it was funny. Somebody noticed there's a crack.
Yeah.
Between the ceiling and the wall in my living room. And somebody pointed that out. And, you know, I'm well aware of it. This is an old building.
Mm-hmm.
And, I think I've told the story where, when I was, well, I used to live on the first floor. I'm on the third floor now, but my cousin moved in to my old apartment when I moved up here.
Mm-hmm.
And he called me and he said, Mike, come down. So I came down. We go into his apartment. He shows me this crack along the ceiling. And he heard something. I didn't hear anything. Next thing you know, he's dragging me outside the door into the hallway. And the whole ceiling collapsed with a, like, it sounded like a bomb went off. It was heavy, you know? So mm-hmm. I do think about that, you know, when I look at the cracks in the ceiling. But they have been here a long time.
Well, you know, I'll say this. Anybody's got a problem with it, with the thing, you could drive to Bayonne with a bucket of spackle and help the guy out.
I don't know if spackle would help something like that.
You know, you get in there with your spackle and your little spackle stick. Help out Beer Face.
Yeah. Should I change my Twitter name? Go all in on Beer Face? Like Buckethead.
Yeah, Buckethead.
Yeah. Do it. Uh-huh.
If you like Buckethead, you're gonna like Beer Face.
Yeah.
Just the worst would be watching you try to replicate, like, how can I get that Beer Face magic back again? you overthinking the next the next picture just way too much effort going into a thing that the first time you just did in 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Stay out of the hospital, Mike.
Yeah, no, I'm trying.
We agree. I agree with Pat.
Yeah, do some like cowboy medicine if you get cut or something. Just put some whiskey on it.
Yeah, those were the days, huh? Where they would, that's something I don't know if I could ever handle, where when you got to get like, in a movie, when they got to like get a bullet fished out of them, and they just pour like some whiskey all over your, like they splash some whiskey on the wound, and then somebody starts fishing it out.
They make you bite down on a chunk of wood.
Yeah, you're biting down on a rag or a chunk of wood, and mm-hmm. you're trying to get through it. I don't know if I have it in me. I'd be like, I think I can see what it's like. I think I'll just tough it out with this bullet in me. So I can get to a hospital.
I guess you never saw that movie. It's based on the true story about the mountain climber who got stuck.
Which one? 127 hours? Is that what it was called?
Yeah, he had to cut his arm off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't watch that.
Yeah, James Franco.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's one of the ones. That's a movie that they make those movies, and I'm just like, yeah, I know he gets his arm. He saws his arm off. I don't need to see it.
Yeah.
I know what happens already. You'll never believe what happens. It's like, no, I will believe it because I'm fully familiar with the story. Why is this a movie?
Yeah. That's
why that Tiger King thing. I don't want to keep talking about Tiger King. But it's just like that. Like anybody that puts a nickel into this Tiger King movie deserves everything. That when they lose their shirts, I don't want to see them come crying. Uh-huh. Because when it turns out no one wanted to see a Tiger King movie 2 years from now.
Uh-huh.
Done.
Well, I thought it was going to be a series with Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, but I don't want it. I really want to watch. We saw the original guy. I don't need to see
Nicolas
interpreting this guy.
I don't know. I might be interested in seeing that.
And then there's another thing with Kate McKinnon coming out, like another series.
Right, it's two series, yeah.
So there's two Tiger King things.
The only thing I would say, the only Tiger King thing I would want is if we were able to knock a quickie one out on Zoom, like shoot it and just knock out a Tiger King thing and then get it out next week. That's the only one I only want quickie Tiger King video series.
Uh-huh.
You write it. We'll do it.
I'm not writing that. It's a hard enough writing. I'm trying to write the stuff I actually committed to write.
Yeah.
I'm going to stop. Yeah, that's exactly what the publisher wants to hear. Not finishing. Book's not done yet. I'm working on this thing. It's a deliberately bad Tiger King project.
Some Tiger King things to do.
Yeah. From the guy that brought you Grown Ups 3, here comes another thing no one asked for. Like, is it funny? It's like, yeah, it was funny, but no one's exactly knocking on anyone's door for more of it. So what else is up? How is Jersey City going, Pat?
Jersey City seems to be I gotta be careful here.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. Nobody listens from your office. Spill it.
Jason, why don't you, as a former resident, express how you feel, and maybe I'll chime in.
Oh, I can't talk on Jersey City. I can talk on Hell's Kitchen.
Yeah, but you've seen some things, haven't you?
I haven't. Okay. I haven't really been looking. No. But I hear a lot of gunshots now that I've never heard before in Hell's Kitchen.
Wow. And that goes back to what we were talking about with the upheaval of crime.
Yeah. So, but what's happening in Jersey City?
You know, it's just read the news, folks. Everything's fine.
You don't have to talk about anything you don't want to talk about.
Yeah. I don't know what to,
You can clean all this up. You can ditch all of this if you don't want it in.
I don't even know. Yeah. I would have to have started a timer when we started and I didn't. So. It's okay.
But, you know, whatever.
I'll say this. I'm in Brooklyn. I'm fine. Everyone I know is healthy. Thank God.
Yeah.
You know, praying for my family every day and all of your guys' family and all of you guys. And
you're a good dude, yeah, Pat.
I'm just trying to control what I can control. And that is Mindy's apartment. We work on it a little bit every weekend and we get rid of stuff. Today we dropped off her old Mac. You know, have you ever had like an old giant computer laying around?
Mm-hmm.
Tom, we went to your favorite place in the world, Mikey's Hookup, who might as well sponsor the show at this point since we talk about them so much.
Mikey's Hookup, that is, I'll say, and I'm saying this, Mikey's Hookup never given me a nickel off on anything. I'm only saying this. I'm not asking for a on stuff. I'm just saying Mikey's Hookup is an electronics place. So there's one in where are they? Williamsburg,
and there's one in LA. And
it's LA now.
Yeah.
And the Mikey's Hookup, they are top notch, man. You need any kind of cables or electronics or answers to things, or your computer's broken or whatever. And this is not a paid thing at all.
Yeah. It could be though, if they're interested.
Are they like a hip Radio Shack?
Yeah, basically you nailed it. They're a hip Radio Shack. And
there's decent people running this electronics thing. And they actually kind of try to give you answers to stuff, and they're not giving the answers that put money into their pocket. Like I've waited and seen them deal with customers, and they'll always just be like, well, maybe you call the thing before you bring it in, and we have to charge you, you know, the flat thing to have it. Try this and this, and then if that doesn't work, come on in, and then we'll take care of it. But like they actually seem to care, which is very nice.
And I'll say this, that they're also like, they are the place to go when like, you know, if you illegally downloaded something and then you show up at the Apple store and you're like, I don't know, it just stopped working, but it's under warranty and you can't explain what it is. Like, they're the certified Mac place where you could just be like, yeah, I downloaded X, Y, and Z, and now it's what you could just be like, yep, got it. Like, they are not going to penalize you for it or judge you for it or whatever it is. Like, I've definitely had like illegal software issues in the past where, like, you know, I had to be like, now 9 out of 10 programs don't load and this is probably why or whatever. But they're the ones, Jason, who fixed my laptop that died like last year.
Oh, wait, is that laptop working again?
Oh yeah, it's been back.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, I've been using it for months. Wow. I'm using Mindy's right now because it's newer. But anyway, we went by there because she had an old iMac, and we're like, you know, we wiped it, and then we're like, we just need to get this out of the apartment, and it was like one thing to do. And I bought like a cable I needed, and it was just like an easy thing to do. They had like a ping. They're they're like blocking the door with their ping pong table so you could just go in and out. Not a lot of people in there. So yeah, we're just trying to, you know, I'm working on controlling what I can control. As I said, you know, we can make her apartment a little bit nicer. We've been here since March 12th and, you know, I hope to go back home at some point. Maybe I will be able to, and then I'll work on my place a little bit. I don't know.
Yeah. But yeah, like I'm glad that you did. I'm glad Mikey's hookup was kind to you, because I am definitely a fan of Mikey's hookup.
Yeah.
And they helped me get all the setup for doing the mobile version of the best show. And on this episode, you'll hear a conversation with me talking to Paul Scheer, where I went to him and talked to him outside of his home. And they helped me figure out the way to record the stuff, and yeah, they came through for me. So I am pro Mikey's hookup. And again, I'm not sponsored by them, but if you're in New York or Los Angeles and you're looking for some electronics help, that's that they did right by me. So.
I just saw Paul.
And also, I don't want to hear any. If I start hearing that anybody, I'm not going to say name names, but any, you go, yeah, I'm on the best show, and sure wouldn't mind getting some free cables.
But you do Mike's voice when saying that.
Yeah, it's a little weird. I mean, I got my own computer hookup over here.
You got your own Mikey's hookup.
You know what they're called?
What?
The computer guys. Straightforward.
Yeah.
They're good.
I don't know. That sounds a little shaky to me.
Right down the block from me.
All right. Computer guys.
Yeah.
The computer guys do all right by Mike.
Oh, yeah.
Well, then let me adjust what I'm saying. I don't want to hear anybody going into Mikey's hookup and being like, hey, I'm going to Mikey's hookup. It's, what do you got going on back there? Or I don't want to hear, hey, I'm going. No one out here. Anybody goes in and starts trading on the name, the best show.
Because that's what I do. I go into a store and I'm like, what's going on back there?
No, I'm just
joking. Hey, one thing since the last time we spoke on a best show, I put my show up online. So everybody can see it.
Yeah, the midlife crisis.
Yeah, Jason Gore's midlife crisis. Since I don't think I'm going to do it in a theater anytime soon, it's up for free to everybody to watch at jason-gore.com.
So. And it's a great show.
Awesome. Thank you. I wasn't fishing for that, but
no,
I appreciate it.
Right. I'm glad.
Keep doing it.
Yeah, and you'll be back doing it.
Yeah, I miss it.
Mm-hmm.
I was telling Kristen the other day, like, I really miss performing live. But I'll be back. We'll all be back.
You'll be back up there spanking the boards before you know it.
Yeah.
Right?
Uh-huh.
I can't wait to spank those boards.
Yeah, you'll be back up there spanking those boards, bringing the house down.
Yeah. I was going to say, hey,
spank.
I was going to say, because Paul Scheer is going to be on this show, I just watched the LSD documentary on Netflix. Have any of you guys seen that?
I saw that it was up. I saw like a trailer for it.
Yeah.
It's
okay. You know, a little more pro LSD than I would have expected, but hey, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's making a comeback. I mean, there's been some books out sort of pro LSD.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. LSD just seemed like something I couldn't handle. So I never did it myself.
I never did it.
All right.
I wanted to, but looking back on it, I just haven't done it.
Hey, man, it's still out there.
Oh, yeah. I know. I can still do it. This might be a perfect time. This would be hell.
No. But you listen to the stories, and I still don't feel like I've missed out, you know?
Mm-hmm.
There's some really negative stories. There are a couple. They go into some bad trip stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Ben Stiller's on there. He did it exactly once. and he knew right away that he would never do it again. I have a feeling that would have been my experience, you know, too. I would have just regretted it as soon as it started. As soon as the show started, I would be like, why did I do this?
Uh-huh.
Because it's not much. Apparently, you know, you're not supposed to look in the mirror. That if you look in the mirror on LSD, you know, it makes it worse. You know, I heard from people I've met, you know, the thing about the, you know, inanimate objects moving, your fingers growing, that type of stuff. There's some more colorful stories on this documentary, but,
And there's like an animated dead video, right?
Well, there's lots of animation in the, in yeah. general. Like I said, they play it for laughs mostly. They, you know, they've got all the old archive footage, military footage mm-hmm. about LSD and all that stuff. Timothy Leary puts in a cameo. Actually, his son's in it. It's worth watching.
So you're, so wait, you've been listening to all these Grateful Dead records straight?
Yeah, that's the amazing thing. Yeah, actually, Mark Maron's in it. You know, he talks about going to a Dead show, and he felt like it enhanced the show. But yeah, you're right, yeah.
Did any of the characters say, now this is before the internet. This is before we didn't have Twitter or anything.
Yeah, I love when that divide is clear.
Nick Naney did a very funny Instagram story this week where he pointed out that is such a common cliche line in documentaries, and it made me laugh a lot.
Yeah, I don't think.
Go ahead, Mike. Sorry.
Yeah, I don't think that that's mentioned too much. You know. It's basically people describing their experiences.
I want to get back. So you just like, it's like not being drunk at a baseball game.
No, I did drink when, you know, although I think the first show I was only 17, so I don't think I could drink. Yeah, I would drink at shows, yeah. Mm-hmm.
What would be the worst show to be the first time? Because it seems like a Dead show would at least have a community around it. What would be the worst thing to be the first time you did LSD and went to a show? What would be the worst show you could see for your first trip?
Oh, I got that.
Actually, I think the first concert I ever went to, which was a huge. The huge English Town Dead show, over 100,000 people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it comes up in the documentary that you know it's important to set where you're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
And I had trouble. You know, they talk about not being around strangers. So just imagine being around 100,000 strangers. You know.
Yeah.
I think that would have been a nightmare. I had trouble with pot being around strangers. I had bad times when I was smoking pot and I was in a different house or something like that. So,
guy's house.
What's that?
You're not talking about the guy's house.
What your guy?
The sound system guy.
Oh, no, no, no. No, I would just drink over there. The room. You're talking about the room.
But yeah, they would do edibles, right?
Oh, yeah, they were doing everything up there. They were doing edibles. They were smoking. He had very fine tequila, mm-hmm. you know, very rare tequila.
You should quarantine with him, Mike.
Yeah.
What kind of tequila was it?
He's a connoisseur, you know. I mean, yeah. You know, you could be a connoisseur of any liquor. And get all these exotic liquors. Tequila, I think, is one of those that, yeah, it's kind of endless. You can keep trying all these different tequilas.
So he whipped out a bottle of Cabo Wabo?
Yeah, he's got all these things that are, you know, pretty expensive, some of them, you know.
Cabo Wabo gold.
Yeah, that's the top shelf stuff when it comes to Sammy Hagar. The guy who brought you, the guy who quality control has been the most defining part of his career. a guy who, that's one of the lowest batting averages in the history of recorded music.
I love Sammy Hagar. I love Sammy Hagar.
Oh boy.
I do.
What do you love? Tell me what you
love. I don't know. There's something about it. I really enjoy. I like Van Hagar. I don't really like his solo stuff.
Oh my God.
But I am a Van Hagar fan.
I see where this is going. So far, part two.
Well, you know what it's going to be? When the output starts getting lower and lower from these guys, we're going to have to add a new band in there.
Yeah.
We might as well just go with Van Hagar.
Yeah. I'm game.
I would not be. I would not be.
No. No.
That would be a true test for me.
Yeah. It's already a lot to get through so far.
Yeah. But right now, Stills is not going to keep putting four albums out a year.
Right.
The thing was, I give Sammy Hagar a lot of credit because I read his book.
It's a great book.
It was a good book, read.
Yeah.
And he said one thing in it that I was very impressed by. He was just like, you got to play every angle on this stuff. And you got to squeeze it where you can get it. And it a little bit, pennies make dollars, basically, is what Sammy said. Some version of that. Where he was like, when he would go on the road, he would put in his rider for a good bottle of wine. Would always be on the rider for every show. And he was like a maniac touring. He was on the road all the time. So he put down this good bottle of wine, but he wouldn't drink them. There'd be a good bottle of wine backstage. He'd take it, and then by the time he'd get home, he'd have 60 really good bottles of wine. And year after year, then you turn around, the guy's got this like wine cellar. He ended up with this amazing wine cellar just that someone else paid for.
Uh-huh.
And he was just like things like that I thought were interesting, and it made me want to be just like I understand him and I kind of root for him as a person a little bit, but it's just like push comes to shove though, that you put the music on, it's the worst stuff you ever heard in your life. You've never heard worse music.
I do root for him more as a person, I think, but I do enjoy the terrible music that you're describing.
Because what's a great song he did? I've done everything for you. You've done nothing for. That's a great song.
That's a great song.
Rick's.
I don't drive 55.
Can't drive 55.
I think I sang that today.
You sang it? I can't.
I know I sang it. It was today. Yeah, it was today. Before we left to go to Mikey's hookup.
Uh huh.
There we go again.
I said to Great Shop, I said today that...
What are you guys doing back there?
Before I went there to ask them what they were doing back there.
And if I hear word comes back, I'm saying this right now. Mikey, if anyone from the show comes in and starts trying to just come off like a big shot with you, you let me know, Mikey. We'll take care of it in-house. So you were singing?
It's pretty uneventful. Mindy asked what the temperature was. I checked my phone. It was 55, and instead of saying 55,
How did you relate it to weather?
You said 55.
I did. Yeah, exactly like that.
Nice.
Did you go
I just sang 55, but then Mindy started singing the rest of the song.
For a while there, he would take that car out on tour, and like, so if you saw the circle at like Walnut Creek Amphitheater or something, you could check out the car out in the parking lot.
He should do a pandemic song. I will wear my mask.
He put a video out that we talked about on the show I'm doing with Julie Klausner, Double Threat, where he was like, "Hey, rockers, you got to respect this so we can get back and start rocking again and stuff. And at the end of it, he says something so gross and upsetting.
You got to say it.
No, you say it.
I'm so horny.
He's like, I just want to get back out there again. And man, I'm so horny.
But he doesn't mean it for sex. He means it for rocking.
I don't know.
Is he married?
Oh yeah.
He's married. Yeah.
He's very happily married.
Oh, okay.
His Instagram's one of the best Instagrams. It's great.
How is he not on Cameo? He might be on Cameo.
I don't know if he is. He should be.
He should be. There's no way he would probably. Is David Lee Roth on Cameo?
Oh, God. He would clean up.
Yeah.
I don't think he is.
The guy from The Office, that guy who plays Kevin, is on there for like $300 a pop.
I saw a friend of mine got one from the guy from The Bachelor.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think he gets?
$100.
No.
More?
$345.
$345.
The host from The Bachelor.
To get.
I don't even know his name. I don't know that guy's name.
Oh, Chris Harrison?
Yeah.
Oh, that makes sense. That's worth it.
That's worth it.
Oh, that's good. Right. I'm telling you one thing. If I find out you're going on Cameo and you're contacting them asking for discounts because it's best show stuff, same thing goes with Mikey's hookup. If I find out, hey, what's going on back there? Maybe throw me a discount code?
Larry Wilcox from Chips. How much do you think he charges?
$100.
$30.
Well, that makes more sense.
Wow, yeah. 30.
I know. It's a good deal.
Yeah.
It's honestly a steal.
Get John from Chips.
Yeah. Peter Noon from the Herman's Hermits.
From Herman's Hermits. What's he charging? He's charging $50.
You nailed it.
Wow. Okay.
Hello, it's me, Peter Noon from Herman's Hermits, and I want to say happy birthday, Craig. You have a mother.
But yeah, that guy, he's one of these guys who's always like doing the, like where it's just like, welcome back to the Beatles show, and we're talking, and I'll tell the stories about behind the scenes with the, you weren't in the Beatles. You were in Herman's Hermits. I want Herman's Hermits stories.
When we were recording, Mrs. Brown, you've got a lovely daughter. I can let you know the recording was quite exciting. It's, okay.
The song blows. Mike, we missed your window. You feel like we missed your window on Cameo? We were
No, Tom. If this thing gets extended further, I think Cameo may be a lifesaver to me.
Yeah.
As far as my sanity goes.
Yeah.
It'll give me something to focus on day to day. So yeah, I mean, I'm thinking like June. Yeah, June may be a real possibility now.
So you're saying if this is still going in June,
yeah,
you'll hit Cameo. I just want to say, get ready to get on Cameo, Mike.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, part of that resistance was that people have supported me so much over the years for the show, and I really appreciate it, you know?
Yeah.
And
you've been very, all kidding aside, you don't,
yeah.
you're not out to like,
right,
cheap thing or just rip people off and stuff.
Yeah.
And you appreciate, we all appreciate the support of the audience and the support for the show.
Yeah. So, you know, I just didn't want to just jump in there and just start gouging people. But, you know, I think it's actually, like I said, I think it might serve another function for me. So I'll be able to put myself into it more and devote myself to it.
No, I feel like this is what I want to know. You were talking at one point, there was the chance that you would do like Vince Neil style one.
Yeah, I could do that. I could still do that.
Is there any chance, and if so, how much would it cost for me to get a cameo from Beerface?
For you, nothing, Tom.
No. I'm just saying,
maybe that'll be my, do you have to put an introductory video up, you know, like,
yes,
maybe that'll be my, you know, personal shout out to you. I'll do a Beerface video.
you could do in that thing. I'm on Cameo. I'm excited to be part of the Cameo family.
Yeah. And
you can request your video by like Vince Neil, by AP Mike, by Vince Neil style, or you can get a Beerface one also.
give
some options.
Uh-huh, yeah.
That's good variety, man.
Uh-huh.
And then you'll start getting people where they're just like, I got Beerface to wish me happy birthday. Yeah, well, I got Mike as Vince Neil to wish me
happy birthday. Yeah.
I'll get one of those too. People will be going back multiple times.
Yeah.
What would you do if this was happening on Cameo? You join Cameo and you're charging $40?
I don't know. 30 sounded okay.
So let's say 30. It's you and who was 30 that we just mentioned? Peter Noon?
Larry Wilcox.
Larry
Peter
Wilcox.
Noon's 50.
Peter Noon's 50. You're, Mike, you're, Larry Wilcox seems like a fair equivalence.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're on there. How would you feel every day one guy keeps buying videos from you?
I'd be a little frightened by that. Yeah.
Every day, 30 bucks shows up.
Uh-huh.
Same guy. Hey, Mike, I want you to wish me happy Thursday.
Uh-huh.
And to tell me to keep going. And keep believing in us.
Yeah, no, I cut him off at a certain point, you know, like, you know, enough already, you know, I appreciate it, but, you know, you're going overboard.
You're spooking me out of here.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I feel like you've given me hope to look forward to June now.
I agree. I'm going to buy one every day, Mike.
Yeah, I'm sure Kristen will appreciate that, yeah.
I'm suddenly pro-pandemic. Uh-huh. Suddenly, finally, a silver lining has come out of this thing. AP Mike's going to be on Cameo.
Uh-huh.
Get a Beerface video. I'll be the first one, too, Mike. Right now. You join Cameo?
Uh-huh.
First one out of the box. It's going to be you doing a Beerface video for me.
Uh-huh.
I'm ready.
I'll get you your kickback, Tom. I mean, you started this ball rolling.
I'm giving you the same policy I've got with Mikey's hookup. You're not giving me a nickel. I don't want it. I don't want it. I support the thing. Because Mikey's hookup, I support. I support him. I'm not looking for, it's not some shakedown where I'm looking for some free quarter inch jacks from him or something.
It'd be nice though, right?
No.
Oh, okay.
I want them to stay in business. I want them to stay in business.
Uh-huh.
But I'll say this. Guy from Mikey's Hookup said he liked the best show. It was sweet. He said, oh, we appreciate you coming here. We love the show and we love all the stuff. So made me feel appreciated as a customer. But those rats at that pinball museum, I tell you, that rat at that pinball museum, I don't ever want to hear another. And I'm not even going to mention the name of the place. I'm going to call it. How many people do you think went to that place because we talked about it on the show?
Oh, yeah.
Dozens, right?
Yeah, I'd say.
I've heard from so many people that are like, I went to the pinball museum because you talked about it. I go in that place, that bum never gave me a second look. Nothing. You go in there, oh, don't worry, it's a museum set up for other DJs. Might as well be the Hall of Fame for them.
Yeah, I know what DJ you're talking about.
That's fine, and I like I like Glenn. I'm talking about Glenn Jones.
Yeah.
He's pals with them. I was doing the same thing. I was bringing people in.
The museum.
Because I didn't do it well enough. To make the guy. And they own that cluck you chicken is the thing.
Oh, they own that too?
Yeah, so I won't spend a nickel at cluck you chicken. And I won't spend a nickel at that pinball museum.
Tom, I don't think that they gave any cred to Chris Gethard either, who literally put that place on his television show, on his cable television show. They all went there.
Oh, wow.
I don't think his picture's on the wall either.
Well, that's fine. I was just looking. I figured the guy could have thrown me a peanut butter cup every once in a while. Right? You want a peanut butter cup? Yeah, thanks. No, I've had people, they've gone in there and they're saying, oh, I went here because at the best show, Tom talked about it. Guy goes, He grunts at them. And look, this is what I hope happens. I hope that pinball museum stays in business. They get through this pandemic and they get on the other side of this. And I want them to thrive. I want nothing but the best for them, but I'm never plugging it again. You could have thrown me a peanut butter cup every once in a while.
I didn't even know they had candy in there.
Nah, they got candy.
Yeah.
Yeah. All the business of the best show through them. Yeah, I came here because of the best show. It's like it reminds me of the end of what show was that? Taxi? Good night, Mrs. Walters. Remember those credits, the title card at the end of sitcoms?
Yeah, I remember that.
Good night, Mrs. Walters. Turns out that guy went and opened the pinball museum after he did the end card. But whatever. Everybody's got these businesses. I hope all the businesses make it through. It's really a challenge. And I'll say, if you've got a local bookstore or a local record store and they're important to you and they're not open yet and you're worried about them staying open, shoot them an email. Ask if you can buy a gift card. Ask if you can do some mail order. Every little bit's going to make the difference on these places staying in business. So reach out to local businesses. Ask them you don't want to be the person who goes, they're gone and I'm sad that they're gone. It's like, try to do something. If you've got money and you're looking to buy something, don't buy it at Amazon. Contact these local businesses and ask them if they can do mail order or pickup or whatever. Just help them.
Yeah.
Help them keep the power on for when they can just keep paying their rent. Just to be there when this is over. I tell you, the look on that guy's face couldn't have been more disinterested.
But wait, this is someone that was in front of you that tried to say this, or this is you heard him?
I've talked to the guy The guy wasn't interested in me. He's not interested in when listeners would come in and say they went. And I wasn't going there looking for a freebie. I paid already, and then I
mentioned. Right. But what was the conversation? Like, what did you approach him saying? And what was, and then he was.
I talk a lot. I do a radio show, and I talk about the, I talk about this place a lot on it. You know, like, we talk, like, I talk about it with the listeners a lot.
It's like that. Yeah, it's like that dude I saw going into UCB Chelsea wearing a Newbridge shirt. And I'm like, hey, I'm Dudio. And he's like, okay.
Yeah. Well, that makes sense.
Honestly, that tracks, doesn't it? Yeah. That one's real. Yeah.
I'm kidding. No, that was not. Yeah. Look, we've all had those happen. I told you the one that happened to me when I went to the haunted prison in Philadelphia. And I was there with Hayes Davenport from Hollywood Handbook, and we're lined up waiting to get into the next portion of the haunted prison because they're kind of like controlling the flow of people. And then there's this monster, Hayes and I are talking, and this monster literally goes, oh my God, are you here, Hayes Davenport? Like, and he's just a monster.
he's like, oh, well, I'm such a huge fan of Hollywood Handbook. I just want to say, oh, it's so, I can't believe you're here. This is so exciting. And then Hayes goes, oh, thank you so much. It was very, it's very nice of you to say it. Hayes goes, well, if you know me, then you, you know who this is. This is Tom from the Best Show. And the guy goes, oh, yeah, hey, how, I was like, got blown off by a monster. Guy dressed in monster makeup.
Uh-huh.
Gave me the high hat. He gave me the high hat, Mike.
Yeah, what kind of monster was he?
They just put low-grade monster makeup on him.
Okay. He was, he like a Frankenstein, a Wolfman? No,
just a messed up face makeup.
Okay.
You know, just like, just some slaps, some red paint on their face.
Zombie face.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Just like not a normal person. Just maybe it looks like a chemical spill happened or something.
Okay. I love the idea of anyone breaking character in a haunted house or a colonial Williamsburg thing, yeah, or like any, or like medieval times, like, you know.
Well, there are characters like at Colonial, my friend lived in the Colonial Williamsburg area, and she would drink at the Colonial Williamsburg bars, like, as part of the park or whatever, because the people in character would stay in character late at night and drink with you. So, like, Patrick Henry would be sitting there as Patrick Henry drinking with you.
Oh, that's so weird.
Yeah.
So he'd be making speeches every once in a while?
Yeah. Oh, he would. I mean, okay. He was sitting there in his time with you drinking a Coors Light.
Uh-huh.
What, yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Get blown up by the monster. Get blown up by the pinball guy. You know a movie I watched the other night, Mike? War of the Worlds.
The one with Tom Cruise in it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched that recently, too.
Set in Bayonne.
Got a little taste of Bayonne, yeah.
Yeah.
Never seen it.
Is that where he lived?
Yeah.
What was that big bridge? Was that bridge real, or was that CGI?
The Bayonne Bridge.
That was the Bayonne Bridge?
Yeah, and then they CGI'd it. I mean, they didn't. But, yeah, it's a big bridge.
You're saying they didn't blow it up?
They didn't blow it up, yeah.
Okay.
I'm amazed that the aliens made it up.
But they would have. Sorry.
I'm amazed the aliens made it out of Bayonne without getting the wiring stolen from there. From those things. I'm surprised they didn't hit a wall in Bayonne and be just like, yeah, somebody stole the engine out of this thing.
Well, they stepped over masses, so yeah, they missed that encounter.
Yeah, I'm surprised they didn't see one of the Masses regulars in there kind of just pulling out, like stealing copper wiring from an abandoned building. Like, yeah, we're kind of stripping these aliens clean. The other thing with that movie is the Bayonne Bridge, it's like the most unbelievable part of it was that all those cars were on it when that thing got blown up, that the bridge was flipping.
Yeah. Well, I think that was actually before all the work on the bridge.
Bridges were under construction for 12 years.
Yeah.
I the first thing I didn't believe in the movie was when the bridge started and these cars falling off of it. I'm like, this bridge is open for 90 minutes a day. Yeah. How do all these cars get on it?
I think I've told you the story about when they were filming that Tom Cruise stopped by my uncle's sister, had a coffee shop at the time. And he stopped in there to get a coffee. And they took a couple pictures and so on. And they, you know, it started off as an article in the local paper. Then it jumped to the Star Ledger, you know, a couple weeks later. They did a story on it. Then, like, a couple more weeks later, it hit the New York Times. You know, I mean, that story just kept going and going. It was phenomenal.
That he was hanging out.
Yeah. He hung out at this little coffee shop in Bayonne.
Mm-hmm.
It's a more gruesome movie than I remember.
Yeah, yeah.
I forgot about the amount of blood in it. That there's basically the entire like landscape is covered in blood.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And then Tim Robbins' creepy character.
Yeah.
The other, if you can find them on the streaming services, the other Bayonne classics are Hysterical Blindness and Mortal Thoughts.
Uma Thurman is Hysterical Blindness, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And what is the other one you said?
Mortal Thoughts with Bruce Willis.
They all shot in Bayonne.
Yeah.
What was Mortal Thoughts? I don't remember that movie.
And actually, that's the Mortal Thoughts is sort of like a, I guess it's like a crime drama. I don't remember all the details. I remember I just stumbled upon that movie watching television one night, and I think it was at the height of, remember Zebra Pants?
Uh huh.
Remember when Zebra Pants came in, and it was sort of the rage? Sure. Lots of guys were actually wearing them in public.
Okay.
But there's a scene where maybe Bruce Willis is wearing the zebra pants, and it was like, I'm talking about like the early 90s. I think the movie came out like in the late 80s. And I'm like, man, this movie, I'm 5 minutes in, and I feel like, was this shot in Bayonne? I just got the Bayonne experience just seeing those zebra pants. And sure enough, they were, yeah, it had been shot in Bayonne.
You could feel the Bayonne-ness of it.
I don't think they refer to it as Bayonne, just like, I don't think they ever say Bayonne in Hysterical Blindness.
Mm-hmm.
You just get sort of a northern Jersey vibe.
Sure.
Is what they're going for.
Yeah, like a Hudson County vibe.
Yeah, exactly. But if you can track those down, worth watching.
Okay, and then there's the Chris Rock, Pat knows this one, the Chris Rock, Anthony Hopkins movie Bad Company was shot in Jersey City. That you see you see some of the murals that are on, what is that main drag there?
Christopher Montgomery Drive? Columbus Drive.
Columbus.
There's like alongside some of the restaurants, there's a huge mural that they both walk in front of.
Oh, that's so cool. I actually never saw that movie.
Yeah, it's a Jersey. You'll recognize it the second you see it. It's not a great movie. I know it's hard to believe that a movie with Chris Rock and Anthony Hopkins would not be amazing, but in this case, it isn't.
What is it called?
Bad Company.
Yeah.
And I think it's one of those movies where, like, Chris Rock looks like an agent that got killed in the line of duty, and they need to recruit him so they can pull off this mission or whatever, because they need him to look the way he looks. Yeah, there's that one. And then, what's that? Well, the other big Jersey City one is, Joker.
Yeah.
Which, what parts in Joker can you recognize are specifically Jersey City?
So, the end when there's riots in the streets, and where his parents get shot. That is
what?
It's a pretty new
spoiler alert.
Pretty known storyline at this point.
No, I didn't know whose parents get shot.
I guess it's supposed to be Batman.
What?
Yeah.
That's
in front of the Lowe's Theater.
That's the alleyway, like alongside the theater.
Yeah. Which I guess in the DC world, and Dudio told me this. I didn't know this. It's known as Crime Alley in the DC verse. And Crime Alley is that little alleyway that leads to Magnolia Street behind the Lowe's Theater, across from the Journal Square PATH station. And that theater is where they're coming out of at the end to a riot that's in place from the Joker, who just appeared on the Murray Franklin show.
Sure. Yeah.
And then when earlier in the film, when there's protests, there is a scene outside the Brennan courthouse. That's the county courthouse outside, not far from there, walking distance within Journal Square. There's a big old courthouse on Newark Avenue. And there's a scene where, they're like showing a Charlie Chaplin film. It's supposed to be like the Met kind of, but they're having this like historic screening. And I don't really get what it was, but it was like supposed to be like this, you know, uppity upper class screening of City Lights by Charlie Chaplin and
the master.
Yes. And so they're it's like a big, you know, upper class affair. They have this like red carpet thing and, you know, premiere, restored film or whatever it is. And they have a protest outside with all the like lower class people. And there's actually a scene that was cut. The guy that's supposed to be Alec Baldwin, but they got that other actor who looks just like Alec Baldwin, who's Thomas Wayne. He gets, Arthur, the Joker, thrown out. Mm-hmm. And, I was actually an extra in the scene that got cut with all the people out in the street where he's supposed to get like physically thrown out, like in the cartoons.
Mm-hmm.
And he, because he's a clown and he wants to save face, he turns it into a pratfall and does like a cartwheel and then lands on his feet to like this uproarious applause. And they got this shot where they like made it rain on everyone, all of us, all the extras. They made it, they had that rain twirler that's like a helicopter blade above everybody's head. It was so cold. It was miserable. They did the take like six times. And then the director, Todd Phillips, personally went up in front of everyone and thanked us all and said that the shot couldn't have looked better. He's so happy with it. And then we all walked back to the holding area where we like cleaned up and they took the wardrobe off. And then I went to see the movie and the scene was cut. I was like, man, you've got to be kidding me.
Yeah. It's hard. It's
did you get paid for that?
Yeah, I got paid like a very
small amount.
Sorry.
That's all right.
I don't know what that, why that's hooked up to my computer. That's okay.
Oh yeah, that happens here too. I don't know why. If you've connected ever to your phone or your computer, like sometimes now it rings on your.
I don't like that.
Yeah, you got to go back to Mikey's.
I got to go back to Mikey's. Yeah.
Yeah, but that scene got cut and it was a bummer.
Do you feel like now in 2020, like Joker 2 would be him saying like, him walking into like a Quiznos with a machine gun and just ordering sandwiches?
I think it would be him. Yeah. Like telling people to not social distance anymore.
And that yeah, he would tell them if the clown makeup is as good as a mask.
Yes.
You're making reference to the guy who went to the subway with the rocket launcher, right?
No, I didn't even hear about that.
That's insane.
If you see the picture of that, you'll lose your lunch.
Today's, did you see today's yet? The one with the guys outside the bar in Boston?
No, I didn't. What were they doing?
Well, they're drunk and yeah, the bar is open. I guess this bar is like probably just risking losing its license, but yeah. It's packed out. Mm-hmm. And somebody walked by with their phone and they're shooting these people. And of course, you know, one guy takes, you know, he's not happy that some guy's filming them, you know, so he starts giving them a hard time. And then one drunk guy just goes like mugs right into the camera. He pretends he's holding a microphone. He goes, "Obey your mother." And, you know, and then somebody uses a profanity and, you know.
No, these guys are great and their heads are screwed on correctly. And
that's where we're going, though. I have a feeling it's going to get worse with this stuff.
Do you think that Trump will put the Joker, like, as his running mate, any chance?
Yeah.
He's not his running mate, but now it's Arthur Fleck is his.
Might as well, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to tell the difference between a movie and reality lately.
Yeah. Anything else anybody want to touch on?
Good news for you, Tom. They're putting Amazon Prime has I didn't realize, I guess California Split had been edited for many years because of music rights.
Yeah, there were music rights things, which is why it was not on DVD for forever.
Yeah. Well, they're running the unedited version on Amazon Prime now.
With the original music?
Yeah, everything. Yeah, it's the unedited version.
Did you watch it?
No, I haven't watched it yet.
I'll definitely watch that. It's that's a must see movie. If anybody wants the best of the 70s, or you don't, or you know Robert Altman and you didn't see that one, now's the time to see it. Then that's the one that he was. California Split is interesting because it was kind of a dry run for the technology of Nashville to do the audio the way they did.
Like, yeah, he used some sort of system. I forget the name of it.
Where they could mix, where they just had multiple channels going and they could go mix up and down and use what they wanted to from all the recording so many different channels of dialogue. But it's interesting for that reason alone, is that it's like, if you're a fan of Nashville, then you'd appreciate that part of that California Split made Nashville possible for them to do that style of filmmaking where the audio is such a fluid element that just kind of like does its own thing counter to the visuals. Yeah. That's great. Thank you, Mike, for the heads up.
Check it out.
Anybody have any plugs? Anything?
No, just the... I already got my plug in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got that early.
Midlife Crisis, available. Yeah. Where is it available again, Jason?
It's on my website. It's jason-gore.com. So.
Over jason-gore.com, you can check out Jason's full-length solo show, Midlife Crisis, which he had been performing for the last year and change. Is that
actually, I had been performing it for about 3 months.
Oh wow, you had been it had been in the works for.
Yeah, I did a couple like audition shows for it, but then the actual run started in December.
That's right.
And then the last show we did, I think, was in February.
Well, this is a good chance to see it, especially if you missed it when it was in a thing, or you were not in the New York area.
Yeah.
Now's your chance to see it. And so check that out over at jason-gore.com. And anything with we got June to look forward to for Cameo with Mike.
Yeah.
We got So Far
coming out with episodes come out every Sunday.
Yep.
Which is the for Patreon subscribers. But the first two episodes are available for everybody. Just up everywhere, and it's worth checking out. It's a lot of fun, and people are enjoying the ridiculousness of it. And it's a fun thing, and I'm really enjoying doing it. And we're all doing it together. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And then Pat, anything you want to mention?
Yeah. Check out Jason's show. It's a great show.
Pat, you're a gentleman.
And I'll say this. I know there's a lot of listeners to this show, young and old and young. This is a very serious thing going on right now, and I can't stress that enough. And it's just like, I'm trying to stay positive, control what I can control what we both can control in this place that we're living, my girlfriend and I, but like, you know, it's just, it's sad and it's really frustrating to go out on the streets and just see people not taking care of themselves and not protecting and wearing masks and stuff. So just please think about others if you're going out, even if you just have like a scarf or a bandana, just please just wear it. It's a very serious time and just, you know, we all need to just do our part and take care of each other right now. It's annoying, but it's just a necessary thing. So please just, do what you can do and
100%
be safe.
That's now I feel like a jerk. I told everyone to watch my show and you're like,
well, no,
just be, take care of yourself. This is a really rough time for everyone. I'm like, come watch me do dumb things.
You're telling people to stay home and watch your show. And that's people should be doing. If you have to go out or if you just are going crazy and you need to leave the house, it's understandable, but just be careful. Be smart about it. Yeah. Well,
you don't have to be the person that screams at people.
Right.
It's like where sometimes I see people overreacting to people who are still abiding by the rules and are, where they're just like, I saw a guy walking down the street by himself and he didn't, you know, it's like, well, if there's, I mean, look, it's not great. You should still wear the mask just to wear it, but it's like people sometimes are getting out, like somebody's, not even the mask on the street, strike that. It's just like somebody said, like, hey, can I drive? Can I just go for a drive with my windows up and I'm not going to get out of the car? And I just want to just know, is that okay to do? And somebody, like, started screaming at them on Twitter saying, like, stay the F home. You got to keep the roads clear of emergency vehicles. And it's like, you can get, if you're losing your mind and it's going to get worse for you and you need to just like literally not be in your home, but you're going to be safe about it. I think that's acceptable, right? Like,
right.
Right.
Yeah.
Wrong.
Yeah.
Like I've taken plenty of drives for that reason. And we're not talking about like those people. I just want to say like anyone who is like, they're not talking about me. I can leave without a mask. It's like, we're asking everyone to do this for hopefully the shortest amount of time possible, but like, it's just for everyone's safety. It's just, please, everyone just be smart and be safe. That's all we're asking.
And the whole thing is, it's like, look, and there was a version of it that turned out that it's just like, it turned out that it's like, hey, it turned out that you didn't have to be as mindful as we needed to be. And you felt that people were overstating certain things. It's like, okay, so then you were right. Okay. Like this is not nobody's like trying to score points off this. People are trying to stay alive off this and they're trying to figure it out. And you just have to be cautious. And it's just like, it's just promoting cautiousness and respect for other people. It's like, so if it turned out that people in, when we look back 10 years from now and it's like, oh, well, it turned out we went one scooch further than we actually had to for the thing, then you get to say, I told you so 10 years from now, but now let's just try to just get through it. And nobody really knows.
Nobody knows. It's too soon.
Let's respect the worst case version of things and the reality of it. And just try to, I don't know. It's like if you're doing this so that if you're looking forward to saying I told you so, then you'll get to be the person that knew better, that you knew better then, and blah blah blah. And I'll tip my hat to you then.
Yeah.
Once this is all over, that you did more than you wanted to do because you didn't believe it, but you still did it. It's like, great. I'll tip my hat to you. You did right by society, but for the time being, let's just all be just mindful of the larger goal here and mindful of everybody's goal here and just try to be cool about it.
And I don't think Dr. Fauci has said this, but when your mask begins to smell like ass, that's when you need to change it.
There you go. It's Dr. List.
Maybe I think you just found his cameo name.
Yeah, I'm going to say this. You say that enough, you start tweeting that much. There's a chance we'll see you at the White House.
We'll take you out in the Rose Garden.
There with the My Pillow guy. From the best show. It's a great show, the best show. It's really one of the most popular shows. It really is. Great. This is a great associate producer on the show. Really. Just like on my <mic. laughs> and you'll just be up there talking about your cameo. Talking about Beerface. We have Beerface. I'm excited to announce Beerface has joined my.
And you're standing next to the MyPillow guy.
Yeah, MyPillow guy. You're on the team now. The crisis squad.
And some dude from like Walgreens who doesn't know why he's there.
Yeah, against as well. Being
yeah, just everybody be safe and be mindful of other people. And nobody's enjoying this.
No.
So, and the other thing I'll say is just if you're somebody who's in the business of being a comedian and you're a funny person, it's just like, try to be funny every once in a while, huh? It's like, you know, a lot of people suddenly, it's a world full. I mean, it's like, I feel like I'm getting my news reports from comedians now, and they bring some laughs every once in a while.
Yeah.
Jokes every once in a while.
Uh-huh.
You help people. You help people with a few laughs.
Yeah.
But some of these people, it's just like, they think they're correspondents now. Everybody's having a hard time with it, but you got everybody brings whatever skill set they got to the thing. You bring your skill sets. You're funny. Start being a little funny. Well, if you're not betraying anything by not being somber and stone cold serious about how awful the president is. Make a couple jokes. You're gonna look back and you're gonna be like, yeah, I could have been funnier. It's not like they're out volunteering. They're sitting at home, but all they're doing is watching the news and complaining about it. Give me a joke every once in a while. Make me smile.
Uh-huh.
That's what you're here for. You think I like doing 8 podcasts at once? No. But we're trying to just brighten people's days. If this speaks to you, so be it. We're trying to make it the days go by a little easier. With a lot of content. Mike, any plugs?
No.
Man, I really opened up a can of worms. I'm so sorry, guys. All right.
Well, thank you everybody for listening, and everybody keep staying safe, keep taking care of yourself, and listen to so far the show over on the Patreon. Stream at patreon.com/thebestshow. And I'm doing a show with Julie Klausner called Double Threat, which is on the Forever Dog Network, and it's everywhere you get podcasts. You can check that out, and it's a lot of fun. And we got a lot of stuff going up, and just keep taking care of yourselves and just trying to stay sane. And coming up next on the show is a conversation I had with one of my favorite people and one of my favorite comedians is Paul Scheer. So take a listen to this, and Best Show will be back next week. Thanks for listening. Bye. Say bye.
Bye. Bye. Guys.
The Best Show mobile unit on the go here in Los Angeles. I'm with Paul Scheer. How are you, Paul?
I'm doing good, Tom. I'm doing good. I like this drive-up service of podcasting. You know, I've enjoyed drive-ins now a lot more because of the quarantine. To have you come to my house is a real treat.
Yeah, well, it's an honor to pull up, throw a cord out. You plug your own mic in. I'll roll it back up. I've got sanitizer. I'll wipe it down. I'll leave it in the sun for a few days.
You are the best show, and you probably are the most sanitized show in town at this point.
It probably is the most sanitized podcast going.
By the way, just to give you a little, you know, I don't want, you know, to give away where we live, but,
no, you can.
All right. Well, you're right across from Ron Perlman's house. What you're looking at across the street is okay. Ron Perlman's house. And the only interaction I've
Which
had
one?
With
that one?
This one.
That one. Okay. Yeah, that.
Yes. A lot of weird stuff goes on in there, but the only time that we've seen Ron Perlman is when he sped out of his driveway in his Tesla and gave someone the finger. So that's the only time we've seen him. I've hung out with Ron. back in the FX days. And he's a lovely guy, but that is my favorite sighting of just an angry finger being waved at someone.
Ron's running a little hot sometimes. I guess he's still not sure if he's on Sons of Anarchy anymore. He's still acting like Clay.
Man, those guys, we talked about this, those guys went around and like beat people up, right? Like the actors on the show because,
Oh, there's one guy got murdered, like his landlord.
Oh, like, man.
It's one of those shows you start to, you're just like, we gotta get authentic. I just don't want the usual Hollywood people pretending to be motorcycle guys. Let's get some real trash in here. Mix them in with the actors. And then you're just like, hey, one of them just killed somebody. Like, uh-oh.
The story that I heard, and it's not as bad as murder, but it was like, I guess someone went to go visit them at a convention. So in a convention setting, we understand that you're an actor. I'm coming to see you because you're on a show that I enjoy. Someone came to see one of the actors in the convention setting with a Sons of Anarchy jacket, whatever their group, their motorcycle club logo was. And they're like, where'd you get that jacket? Mm-hmm. And he's like, I made it. Well, you're not part of the club. You're not part of our thing. And they beat him up.
Well, neither are you.
This is a fictional thing. That would be like if like George Takei just like started kicking people's asses for stolen valor.
He sees you walking through Comic-Con with just an Enterprise, like that's not your ranking.
Yeah, you are not a member of Starfleet. I love that cosplay had gotten to the point where they were there for the fans, and then they were beating them up for enjoying the show.
It's one thing, you want to line up, pay me $60 for an autograph, that's fine. Just don't come wearing your fake version of my fake motorcycle gang. It's like, cause it's like, what was it? Sam Crow was the thing where it was like the Sons of Anarchy Motorcycle Club, spell that out.
Oh, right. I'm sorry. Now I remember. Yes. I'm not a big Sons of Anarchy fan. I'm not an anarchy head, but,
No, I watched up to season, I watched so far into that show, and that was one of those shows where they were Kurt Sutter?
Yeah, Kurt Sutter, yeah.
Kurt Sutter clearly saw that people watched The Sopranos but were mad that, like, he was one of those guys who's just like, you got a show about the mafia, you're not killing enough people. And he's like, when I get my shot, there's going to be a body count on that show. You're not going to ever watch an episode without somebody getting killed on it. And it's just like, but the only problem is, that's not remotely realistic. It took place in this small town in California, Charming, and the body count in the town was probably around 500 people killed by a motorcycle gang. It would be the biggest news story in America that the small town with the motorcycle
gang.
Maybe
it's a story. Maybe it's a story about bad journalism in small town America.
It would be that nobody investigated it. And so it's always funny that people taking stuff seriously. Well, you've probably gotten some. I'm trying to think. In terms of the things you've done, what is the thing? The league is the thing people spot you that.
It's odd. I mean, and this is a weird thing to talk about because it's not how I define things, but I can often tell, like I can kind of categorize people by what they kind of hit. Mm-hmm. And there's one person that really just clips in on best week ever. And they'll say, I love the 80s.
Yeah.
And then whenever that happens, I feel a need to like prove to them I have worked past that. Like it's sort of like
done stuff since. I swear.
That always makes me like in my head. I'm like, well, that was like I've said sometimes and felt like an asshole too. Like, well, that was my first job. But I just because I feel guilty. But yeah, the league is very big. Fresh Off the Boat is very big. Sure. And then the podcast is actually been,
I mean, in terms of that kind of thing where it's like somebody
Andre League. Yeah, mm-hmm. League is definitely the most aggressive fan base that is treating me as I am the character by like comments and stuff like that, you know. Yeah. So if I say something like, I like the Clippers, mm-hmm. I'm going to get a lot of, hey, don't wait for this truck to pass. Thank you to that essential worker. Say, like, you know, don't give them Dre. There's a lot of, like, that, you know. And so it actually forces me not to really take any chances wearing anything that could be related to Andre fashion or hats or anything, because the minute it's posted, it's like, oh! Andre hat. That's an Andre post. I'm like, let's just me. It's a me post.
Yeah, but you're getting, you're strangely getting penalized for success.
And then I'll go and beat the shit out of them. Yeah. You know, I'll just find where they're living. Yeah. I'll take my old Andre fedora and just I'll pistol whip them with my fedora, just like pop 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 pop. Can I tell you the other thing too that comes up all the time? So on How Did This Get Made, and I'm going to now fulfill the prophecy by continuing this story. On How Did This Get Made, we were watching some sort of old movie, 80s movie or something like that, and they just had like these really graphic kissing scenes. And I was talking to Jason and June about it, and I said, oh, it's so funny, when I was a kid, like, I watched like a lot of Love Boat, and there's like a lot of like open mouth kissing on that show. Like, okay. It just is, that was, I feel like that was a bigger thing. It's not so prevalent anymore. And like, I just, like, one night my mom was giving me like a kiss at bed, you know, put me to bed. And like, I was like, oh, well, this is how you kiss. I just got, and like, I attempted that move. And then my mom very quickly was like, whoa, whoa, whoa. And I was like, oh, but that, no, she said, no, that's how adults that are, like, she explained the situation to me. I told that story once, and that, like, I posted a picture yesterday because it was May the 4th be with you, the Star Wars day. Yeah. And it was a picture of me as a kid, and it's like, was that before or after you made out with your mom? And that, that has followed me in a way that I've been like, wow, I didn't even think it was that scandalous of a tale, but it is.
It's going to be, you did something wrong. Your honesty was a mistake. And you should never have shared a detail.
And just think if it was something like where I could have said like, oh my gosh, I did have this moment where, you know, she was my stepsister or something happened. Like if I did share a real thing, like people would just be like, wham. Yeah, like just.
Oh no, you'd never hear the end of it. It's funny though with the out in public thing and the league being such a, I guess the sports aspect of the league makes it cut across a wider swath of potential fans
that
would be out of it. Because when I went, there was one time I was doing a fantasy basketball draft in Las Vegas.
Oh, wow.
It's great.
So fun.
It is. It was the most fun.
I've been wanting to get into a fantasy basketball league. It seems like that would be such a blast to do. Or is it too time-consuming?
Oh, it's both.
Yeah, okay.
It's the best, and it's too time-consuming.
Right.
Cause like I'll talk to these people who do like baseball ones. They're like, "Yo, I set my lineup and I don't look at it for 2 weeks." And then the basketball you have to read, or football where you're just like,
"Oh, football is it?" Yeah. I had to like pull back from a lot of my
But the fantasy basketball one is so much fun. I'm in this one league and it was so we're in Las Vegas and we're at the MGM and it was me and Adam McKay is in the league and the Sklar brothers were in town for the fantasy basketball draft, which they hosted it.
Oh, wow. Which was insane. It was a kind of
a huge production.
Okay, got it. So everybody has their own teams.
Yeah, everybody has their own teams. Adam was so kind and put together this ridiculous production where the Sklar brothers came down the stairs in the suite.
Oh wait, they just hosted your draft.
Yes.
Oh, holy shit, that's crazy. Yeah. Oh, I thought it was I thought it was like some sort of event.
Oh no, okay. No. This is 12 dummies with teams in the biggest production ever, and then I think Blake Griffin called in
what?
To be like, hey guys, have a good draft.
That like, is.
He went so nuts. Then we go out to the, we're out in the casino.
Yeah.
And it's at the point of the, it's NBA preseason.
Right.
And they have games in Vegas. They had a game in Vegas that night. And it was the Warriors and the Lakers, I think. And something like, I know it was the Warriors because it's me and Adam and the Sklars walking around and I never saw, the Sklars got stopped every 5 feet because of the sports.
The sport, the bleacher seats or cheap seats or whatever. Yeah.
Because of cheap seats, because of filling in for Jim Rome and.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, it was, they were like superstars on the casino floor. And then at a point, JaVale McGee walks by.
What?
And goes, oh, he runs over to them. And Kevin Durant is with him.
What?
And then is just like, JaVale McGee's just like, I gotta get my picture with you guys. And he gets his picture taken with the Sklars. And Kevin Durant gave them just like the nod.
Wow.
And I was like, man, the Sklars got this thing figured out.
That, I mean, it, like, one of the best things, like, I wish I was more of a football fan. Like, mm-hmm. like if, like, and that was a cool, I loved the league and it was so much fun to do. And it got me, I was always like a football team fan.
Sure.
Not like a, I follow the league, that much. And, you know, it was just never on in my house. And then the league got me very much into football and met all these great players. It was so much fun to kind of, for those 7-8 years, be fully immersed in that world and understand what was going on. But, oh man, to be, the NBA world is a more, it seems like there's a more play in it, it seems like.
Well, you know, it's, you know what I think the difference with the NBA is that every other sport doesn't have is that the reason why it's twofold. It's one is just a sheer practical thing is that you see the players' faces.
Yeah.
They're not wearing helmets. They're not wearing masks. You can see their personalities come through all the time. They are not ever hidden behind a baseball cap or a helmet or a hockey mask. And it's smaller too.
It's like you know, you're starting five. Obviously you're going to have your whole team, but like there's a lot more stories to tell. There's a lot more personality. It's more of a players league too. Well, it's like,
that's the other half of it is it's not a coach's, ultimately the NBA is not a coach's league.
Right.
It's not like football where there's some guy up in the skybox saying what the next play should be because he's looking at it and it just looks like, it looks like a grid down there for him. It's basically when these guys are playing, they can draw up whatever plays they want, but when the play breaks down, then it's just, you go make
Yeah, you're
happen.
Just playing, yeah.
And you're also, the players are always, they don't alternate offense defense either, which I think is a, I think those are the keys to why the NBA is the best of all sports.
It's so much fun. And, you know, it's, there's just, I also just think that there is a good humor. Like, I just think that the NBA players, to me, mm-hmm. pound for pound, like, I know there are very funny NFL players. I know there are very funny baseball players, but there is a sense of humor and play within the NBA that I think trumps other sports. I think that they are just like, they have like their Twitter, NBA Twitter is funnier and more engaging than
Absolutely.
Anything else.
Yeah. It's like you follow, it's just like you watch players talk to players and goof around with players publicly or do like Instagram videos. It's like Damian Lillard is so good on social media because he's just engaged and you realize it's just like,
oh, when him and Shaq had that rap battle, I mean,
oh,
that was all day long. I want that.
Yeah. Shaq, such a funny.
I mean, I've been aggressively playing NBA 2K20 in this time, in this quarantine time. I have a great, my team and everything. But Shaq, like, I gotta say, Shaq's on my team and my commitment to these players because now I play them all the time in whatever world I have, like, has grown in a way. Like, I'm like, I'll wax poetic about Gilbert Arenas. I'm like, oh,
sure.
That guy. Yeah. You know, because
Mandy's big buddy.
Oh yeah, right.
He got into it with Joe Mandy on Twitter.
I forgot about that.
It's the funniest thing you think about that. Like, there was a point where Joe Mandy mixed it up with Gilbert Arenas, like, round after round.
That's so funny. Mandy's the best on that. Like, just engaging dum-dums to spiral out.
Yeah.
It's just like,
yeah.
Oh, man.
Well, who else is on this team of yours?
Well, my team right now, you got Steph Curry.
Got Danny Manning, who's doing really good for me.
Okay.
LeBron.
You're keeping those Clipper roots alive.
I have my all-star Clippers team, which is okay. My best Clipper player team as well. Who else do
so
I have?
So is it the history of the,
how, yes, through this, the history of the Clippers.
Let me see if I can name some of these players. Okay. Let's see. So it's an all-star Clipper team. Through the so you have
and you got to understand that there's a few players that don't really exist. I mean, sure. You know, in the NBA 2K
okay.
world.
Okay, all right. So you have Blake Griffin, Chris
yes.
Paul,
mm-hmm.
DeAndre Jordan.
Yes.
You have Danny Manning. I'm
yes.
assuming you do. You have let's see. I'm trying to think.
You're missing two of the biggest ones.
You don't have Candyman on there. You don't have Michael Olowokandi on there. No.
No. I have not pulled the cards for.
Okay. Who are the other? I'm drawing them.
Okay. Well, I mean, Kawhi and Paul George. You got those guys on there. Yeah. You got, Norm
Richardson,
Nixon.
Quentin Richardson.
That's good. Who else? I have,
Darius Miles. You can fit a Darius Miles on there, maybe.
I believe I'm trying because I've actually just pulled two new cards that actually changed a lot of things for me in this. Which was I got a Patrick Beverley at a 94.
Okay.
By the way, don't mean to bore anybody with my team stats, but Patrick Beverley as a point guard with a 94 rating is pretty solid. And who else do I have coming off the bench? Danny Manning is always very very good for me. Gosh. Now I'm blanking on the other people because I'm playing my core group. Oh, Michael Jordan's on my team too.
Okay, but
yeah. Hey, you know, it's a fun way to kind of build. So I have like three teams that I kind of old school team of all-star of the Clippers team, and then my team. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and sometimes I'll just go in a wormhole and just be playing these games, and like they have any sort of stakes or anything, I just get real passionate at home. Like when I win a game, I'm like, there's some nights I feel like at the end of Uncut Gems, I feel like I've really pulled something off.
Yeah, well, hopefully it doesn't go all the way to the end of Uncut Gems with the nobody's. You don't have anybody locked behind a plexiglass.
Oh, yeah, Tom, I was talking about this today, and I know you're a big Sandman fan.
Yes.
And I was getting into this conversation. If you had to like pick, like, all right. I want to throw these three movies out at you, right? Okay. You have to lose one.
All right.
Big Daddy, Happy Gilmore, or The Wedding Singer. Which one would you lose?
Big Daddy.
That's what I think, too. I people seem to really love that movie, but I don't know if that's like... I feel like Wedding Singer and Happy Gilmore are way more...
Well, I think they each... It's like, if you think of what they need to accomplish, you can say goodbye to Big Daddy because... Each one of those movies did do something for Sandler's career where it's like Happy Gilmore was just, he was funnier.
Right.
He got funnier than in Billy Madison. Like it was a step up from Billy Madison. He showed he belonged making comedies as a film star. Wedding Singer was the human romantic side of him, which suddenly it's just like, oh, everybody likes this guy. Like
right.
he's not just a maniac screaming at you.
No, he's actually good at his job. He's somebody who is like he's real. He's the
like
most
the
real.
Good boyfriend that it's like he's an aspirational kind of guy
yes.
in that. And Big Daddy has some of that, but I feel like Wedding Singer has enough of it that if you got a Wedding Singer moves Sandler's maturity down the line enough.
With the comedy attached to it, whereas like
yes.
Big Daddy, I think kind of walks that line of dramedy. It was mm-hmm. one of those movies, and I've seen mostly every Sandler movie, I think, where I just feel like it's not a movie that I would want to revisit. It wouldn't be like, oh yeah, let me pop in Big Daddy again.
Yeah, you get to see the acting chops of a Jon Stewart.
Who is great. I remember him as the person that I remember from the whole thing.
Isn't it funny to think of certain people as actors, though, where you think of, like,
yeah.
Jon Stewart in Death to Smoochie, I think.
Jon Stewart, like, had a real, like, kind of run of, like, acting roles.
Yes.
And then they all kind of change. It's, yeah, like Jimmy Fallon. It's so hard to think of him now as like the star of Taxi.
Yeah.
Or Fever Pitch.
Yeah. Or John Oliver in Love Guru. Yeah.
It's a weird thing. Going back and looking where everyone kind of ends up.
Yeah. Big Daddy is what got Paul Thomas Anderson into,
Sandler. Like, that's the one that yeah, that's really like the one hooked him on it.
And the Safdies also said that, like, that Big Daddy made a big dent on them. Like,
yeah.
That's why I'm like, am I missing something? But I don't think I'm missing anything. I just think it's either, like, it may have just shown a different side of him, and people are like, oh, he could do that very emotional courtroom scene, and that could be something.
Yeah, yeah.
But I have yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's funny to, I would, it's like you look at the body of work and it's like, you guys made more great movies than most great people.
Yeah. I mean, his, I would also say, like, I give Sandler points for the comedy pitch. Like, for me, I don't love that movie, that he did with Chris Rock about the fathers that are getting ready for their daughter's wedding. Yes, but I love that pitch. I just think it was kind of executed not as the way I wanted it. I wanted it to be funnier, better, but I love that. Like, I feel like his taste in pitches is, I would say, at 100%, like, for the most part. Like, it's like, even like Little Nicky, it's like, oh, that's a great premise. Son of the Devil, great.
He knows, he's always kind of known where he's supposed to go.
Yes.
Next.
Yeah.
Like, he kind of knows what people want before they even want. Like, when you heard, and I know, I can only speak for myself, when I heard he was, like, touring again, I'm just like, oh, I wouldn't necessarily want to see that. You know, it's like, it's good for other people. Then you see the Netflix thing, you're just like, oh, this is the best, one of the best things he's ever done.
It's so solid. My wife is pulling in and shocked at...
Seeing you in a driveway. Out
on the at what's going on.
Okay.
It's a drive-thru. Just shaking her head as she drives.
The stupidity of podcasting. A new low. It's always when somebody sees you do a thing, then you just suddenly feel like...
Oh, she's shocked. She's shocked. Oh, she's shaking her head.
You're just like...
Oh, we are keeping our 6 feet distance.
Yes, we are.
We're doing using our mics.
Yeah, it's funny that, like, I got to see Sandler do his tune-up shows before he went on, where he was going to go on tour this.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Episode, oh, yeah, how was that?
Get to, was at the, Dynasty Typewriter.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was just the greatest.
He's great. That special is great, and he figured it out, and I feel like he, as a guy who never phones it in, and no matter how you feel about the movie, the performance is solid. Like, you know, he's trying, like, he's...
There's a couple times where you could maybe say, blended. He might be a little sleepy.
in blended. Well, he's tired because he's been hanging out in Africa having an amazing, family vacation.
Well, that's the other thing. Anybody gets on him, it's like, please, you're kidding. Anybody would go along for the ride with...
Oh, absolutely.
Like, yeah, we're friends with this guy. He's gonna make a movie and we're gonna go hang out in Hawaii for a month and a half.
And he's a good guy, too, because my friend was in Paul Blart Mall Cop, and it got cold there one night, like, very cold. And the next day, in the trailer, Sandler had sent them all, like, the warmest winter jackets. Like, hey, I heard it was cold last night. Here you go.
Oh, that's awesome.
I love that.
Yeah, that's not how it usually goes on a production.
Yeah.
Usually it's just like, hey, I heard it was cold there.
Good. That's the thing. Well, hopefully it won't be that bad again.
To be you. Yeah. So you finished recently going through... Did you go through all 100 movies on Unspooled?
We're close. We're close, okay. Tom. We're in the final stretch here.
What have been, and Unspooled, for people who don't know, is the podcast you've been doing with Amy Nicholson.
Yes, Amy Nicholson, who is a very, like, I love her as a film critic, just written for Rolling Stone and Variety and KCRW. She's really great. So we've been going through that list, and it's been fun to see what kind of pops up and what people like. And during the quarantine, we've been doing, like, these fun pop culture movies. Like, we did a house party reunion last week with, Reggie Hudlund and Kid from Kid and Play.
That's unbelievable.
It was so much fun. And that movie was, like, really fun to watch. But the ones that kind of exist with me, you know, it sounds cliche to say it, but I feel like this is the first time I really got and enjoyed 2001. I saw it in the theater on the re-release, and it really blew my mind. And when you see stuff like that, there's another movie called Intolerance, a D.W. Griffith film that was made in 1920. It's like 3 hours, but it's stunning. And I think those are, like, from a technical standpoint, you're like, these people were so far ahead of the game.
Well, 2001 it's almost not even a movie.
Yeah.
In a way. It's this experience that happens to be presented in cinematic form.
It is. You're right. It's totally unique and, really kind of.
You don't even know how you could rip it off. If you were somebody, I mean, look, you can make references to shots, yeah. specific shots and stuff, but there's kind of no way to be like, yeah, I'm just gonna, you know, the way, cause look, with all this, the, Wes Anderson stuff, and it's like, he likes to take things from French people.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But that's fine. But you can do that. I don't know how you could do that with 2001, where it's just like...
No, he inspired... Like, 2001, you see the imprints of that movie over so many films, but you can never steal that film.
No.
It's singularly unique. And that's, I think, for me, like, it's very rarely is there a bad watch on that list. Like, there is always something really interesting to take from it. There are movies that are more boring than others. And even Intolerance is not a movie that I loved mm-hmm. from a storytelling perspective, but it was like, oh, I'm glad I saw it.
Sure.
But yeah, like, just kind of going back through and... You know, like, even watching, like, Do the Right Thing was great on a rewatch. I hadn't seen that in years, but I never saw Last Picture Show. And I was like, that's another movie that kind of cements, like, what a teen movie is. Like, you know, this coming of age. It's, like, a beautiful,
sure.
amazingly done film. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's just, so would you say that what are the biggest, like, what the biggest surprises have been, like, Last Picture Show?
Yeah. Last Picture Show was a big surprise for me. I thought High Noon was a little bit overrated. Mm-hmm. I think it's fine, but it's like, it didn't seem like the best Western. There's a lot of movies that I'm like, I didn't love The Searchers. I know people love The Searchers. I just kind of found that to be, not as engaging as I wanted. Ben-Hur. Yeah. They got a great chariot scene.
Yeah.
But it's like, there's a couple of things on there. I think the thing that the list suffers from. I mean, this is like a longer conversation, but it's like there's no women directors on it, mm-hmm. and there's very few movies with like a person of color in the lead or even a woman in the lead. Like, I would like, and it's so after watching so many of these movies, they all start to feel the same because it's all about like a troubled man in a situation. You know, it's like mm-hmm, there's a monotony to it at points, and then every now and then you see something, or you see something again with fresh eyes. It makes the good stuff stand out. Like when you watch Godfather after watching, like, you know, like The Deer Hunter, which I thought again, I never saw The Deer Hunter. I was like, I don't like this movie. But like The Godfather, like these other movies, like just pop, and they're just so like electric and
yeah,
it's amazing.
Yeah, it's funny because it makes you question the institution of what is it, the AFI?
Yeah,
like you're just like. These things you just accept where you're just like, oh, these are the movies. They're like, wait, are they? Who says who?
Yeah, and, it seems like it's all voted in by dudes who grew up in this, like, who had their, like, career burst up alive in the 70s and what they've been influenced by in the 50s and then nominating their own films in the 70s. It's like mm-hmm. that, like, the movie, it's a very small window. Like, when you talk about a list of the best films and you kick off Fargo, and you don't replace it with it. And there's no other Coen movies on there. Oh, that's odd. Like, you have no Coen Brothers movie, and you had Fargo on, and you lost Fargo. It's like...
What would have taken its place? Is there any idea of what was added?
I think Toy Story was added that year. I think Shawshank was added that year. It's like, there's a couple of...
That was one that you both... the Shawshank.
Yeah, we did not like Shawshank.
I've never seen all of it.
Shawshank is fine. It's like, but it's the same way I felt about Forrest Gump. It's like, it hits a softball down the middle. It's exactly the reason why it plays a million times on TBS or whatever it is, TNT. Like there's something so digestible and there's nothing wrong with that.
No.
But is it the best?
No, it just, and that's the whole thing is just like who tells the history of a thing. And it's just like, you have to question who's telling that history.
Yeah.
Because, even outside of gender and race, and there's just an overall snobbery in certain ways that it's just like a movie to me. It's just like, it doesn't have to feel like homework.
No,
movies were not supposed to necessarily be homework. They can be wildly experimental and can be whatever you want them to be, but they don't have to feel like
eating vegetables.
Yeah, and I feel like, and that's been the fun of the list. It's like, oh, these movies I thought were going to be like homework are actually wonderful. Like, yeah. And then then there's other movies I've been looking forward to that I feel like, oh, it's a hard mix. And I think you can tell though it's of an era because it's like there's six Vietnam films on there. It's like, what do we need six?
Oh yeah, that's exactly when, because what do you have? Platoon,
Deer Apocalypse Hunter. Now, awesome. Deer Hunter. I mean, for lack of a better term, MASH is a Vietnam movie, even though it takes place in Korea. It's like there's so many of these, you know, like it's all like coming home or going over. But meanwhile, there's a movie on that list. This is the movie that I always forget: The Best Years of Our Lives. Mm-hmm. Amazing movie, super hard to find. Steven Spielberg was like, this movie influenced me more than anything. It's a soldier coming home from World War II, three of them, and they all come back with very different things. And one is lost an arm, and another one is kind of trying to fit back into society, and another one is not being able to find a place back in. And it's great. Mm-hmm. It's one. That's actually one of the best. Oh, sorry, plane. That to me was the most surprising, because on a list of 100 films that I've heard the name of all of them, that's one I'm like, oh, I've never heard the name. Yeah. The Best Years of Our Lives.
I've never seen it. I just And what would be something you would, that you feel, if you could put one on there that isn't on there?
Oh, that isn't on there? Wow, that's a tough question, because it's sort of like, I'm going to just jump in and go with my gut right now and say like Boogie Nights. I feel like, I think that Boogie Nights is a great, like I feel like Paul Thomas Anderson's not on that list, the Coen Brothers are on that list, but I feel like Boogie Nights is a classic American film that needs to be on there, yeah.
Well, you could say just like, so there's no PTA on it. There's no Coen Brothers on it.
There's no, and again, no female director. So when you think about that, like, just like no Penny Marshall on that list. No.
Especially if you're going to put like Shawshank on that, you could just put A League of Their Own where that was.
I literally thought that. I was like, yeah, like League of Their Own would be great.
It did better in theaters than Shawshank did. Like, it's actually a more successful, if you're going by just being crowd pleasing, it's more esteemed in that regard than Shawshank was.
I think there's so many interesting people that are omitted, and I think about Boogie Nights a lot. I think about, you know, the other movie I think about, and I'm not going to define, I'm not going to beat myself up. I think Die Hard is like a great American, like,
well, that's the whole thing, and that's that high and low part of it that is such a bummer, where it's just like, I don't know why you differentiate, like, film from movies.
Yeah.
And the idea that Die Hard isn't some impossible accomplishment, which it is, to make that work.
And set a whole new tone for what these things are.
And exactly. It says it reinvented the concept of an action movie.
Yeah.
And it reinvented the concept of an action hero. So, also. It changed so much stuff, and it's like, I don't know, that those lists are such a bummer, and they're so snobby, and they don't like horror movies, and they don't like...
Yeah, there's no horror, really, besides The Shining and... not The Shining, it's Sixth Sense and something else. But yeah, it's like, there's so many great things that should be rewarded and spoken.
Because even the comedies, like, I'm sure, like, Some Like It Hot is on there, where it's just like, that's... To me, that's not even like a comedy. It's almost like a musical without the songs.
Well, I totally agree.
But it's almost structured. It's like representative of comedy. It's not actually funny to me.
And that's the thing. Like, people argue over comedy all the time and what is funny and what is good. But it's like, you know, you want to, I think that's a hard thing to do, is prescribe comedy to people. Mm-hmm. And so what they do is they pick safe ones. I love Preston Sturges. There's one Preston Sturges on that list, which is great. It's, Sullivan's Travels.
Yeah.
It's shocking how unrepresentative it is of film. It's like, not all film is drama, but they have a ton of cowboy movies and a ton of war movies, but like not action movies. It's sort of like, it's, you know, and that's how I look at, like, the Alamo has a great list. Like, the Alamo Draft House has, like, their list of 100 essentials. And it's like, well, that's a good-looking list. Mm-hmm. Like, you got to go high-low.
Yeah, yeah. No, I just don't. It's like, the whole appeal of movies was that people thought a train was going to run them over when they went into the thing. Like, that's what started them being profitable, is people ran to go sit in the thing and get tricked by this.
Yeah, they
want to
feel
like
they're in that
them.
Thing, by the way, which is, it's like, and I love that Scorsese kind of rips that off at the end of Goodfellas by having, like, Joe Pesci's character, like, fire the gun at the screen, which is, like, the end of the great train robbery, which is, just, like, again, that same idea of, like, I'm killing you.
yeah. And it's, but you're coming to the end of it, and does that just end the podcast when that ends?
I think we're going to try to figure out how to, we've talked about ways that we're trying to figure it out. I think the idea has been, like, we've been stifled by the list. There's things we can do, things we can't do. And so now what we're going to do is say, well, if we could make a list, like, let's go and, like, what would we add to it? Like, you know, like, what are the films that we would want to get into? And it's like, let's go and explore some amazing female directors. Let's go and explore some movies. And we've kind of started doing this with our live YouTube shows, in the sense of, like, let's go, like, talk about Clueless for an hour. And it's not as in-depth as whatever, but it's still like, oh, this is an interesting movie, or the, we did Big, and it's like, just fun to, like, I don't know, celebrate movies that aren't necessarily going to be, like, held up as the best, but also, you know,
like, Big would be on that list if it was 40 years older than it is.
Absolutely.
Like, if Big was in 1947,
it was Jimmy Cagney.
Exactly.
Right. It would,
like,
be
Jimmy
on the
Stewart
list.
Dancing, or, like, just,
oh yeah,
like, just
Jimmy Stewart. Yes, sir. Yeah.
But, whatever it is, it could be Jimmy Cagney. It was an old Yankee Doodle Dandy.
Yeah. I just watched that last week. Oh boy.
So it's just funny that people attribute a certain amount of respect to a thing.
Well, but it's like, but that's the thing. It's easier to judge things in the past, and you look at it with, like, you have to respect it over, like, something that's new. It's sort of, it's like, we don't, like, I feel like, well, not enough time has passed to appreciate that. So no one will argue Some Like It Hot, because it's Jack Lemmon, and, he's and Tony Curtis, and they're, geniuses, and they are. Billy Wilder's amazing, but it's like, but it's, you know.
You know who doesn't like Some Like It Hot? Woody Allen.
Really? I'm lukewarm on it. It's fine.
Yeah,
I don't think it's the greatest movie.
It's not my thing.
No, I mean, Billy Wilder's.
It always felt like somebody else's idea of comedy.
It's a dress up. It's Bosom Buddies. Yeah. It's work. You know, whatever movie. It's like, I don't understand why we ever thought that was, like, a hilarious concept.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. It's
guys acting like ladies.
Yeah. That was always the weirdest thing, when it would even be like, even on SNL would be like, can you believe these two guys are kissing? Like, when two cast members would do it, they'd be like, yeah, that's what
I know, but
that
it's like,
happens
it's,
all the time in the world.
It's
guys
so base.
Kiss all the time.
It's so base, and I think that, like, basically, that energy is what people can agree on that comedy is.
Mm-hmm.
It is funny that these men are pretending to be women.
Yeah.
Done. Exactly. That's a comedy.
Yeah. Like, if I was doing my 100 lists and I had to put a comedy on there, it's like, I'm telling you, I'd put first Jackass movie on there.
Never laughed harder in a movie theater.
Movies I've laughed at the most in a theater.
Mm-hmm.
First Jackass movie.
Yes.
Borat.
Uh-huh.
I remember seeing The Birdcage in a theater, and people were losing their minds seeing that, because it was, like, so crowd-pleasing, and it was just, I don't know. So Birdcage is not on that list.
No, but Birdcage is a movie that doesn't really hold up either. It's like, what is it?
I'm sure it's not tracking exactly with the.
Yeah. Well, but it's like, but there, like, Jackass made me laugh so hard. And we were talking earlier about The Sandman.
Mm-hmm.
Billy Madison, the first time I saw that, like, there's just some things in it, like, comedically, I was like, whoa, like, just like the pool scene where it's like, but, like, I mean, Jackass, I talked about this a lot because Buster Keaton's on the list, and we brought on, why am I forgetting his name, the director of Jackass.
Jeff Tremaine,
to talk, because I was like, when I watched Buster Keaton, I was like, oh, Buster Keaton is just doing Jackass. Like, he's riding the front of the train, he's throwing stuff off, yes, there's a loop plot here, but this is stunts.
Yeah.
These are stunts executed in a way that makes you so viscerally connected to it. And I know that people were like, that's not the same thing. I was like, it is.
Oh, it literally is.
It literally is the same thing.
Jackass might be the best example, maybe the only example of a TV show that got so much stronger when it became a movie.
Yes.
Like, you watch episodes of the show and you're just like, oh, this is great, but it's also just not as good as the movie. The movie is just monumental.
It's, like, it's money and the ability to edit out. Like, all you need to do is make three good episodes, like 90 minutes or whatever. And they just, I feel like they just crafted it down. I got to be in the audience for one of the bits. I never laughed so hard because basically they, we saw a screening and they shot another sequence. And the sequence was like, they replaced, Johnny's, moisturizer with like horse semen. And so, what they did was they played the whole movie, and then at the end they all talked and they said, "Hey, we actually have something we want to show you, Johnny." This is and he's like, "Oh, what is it?" And then they showed him, and they had cameras on him as he was watching it for the first time, realizing that he had been using horse semen on his face for months, and it was. To be in that theater, watching him, but then watching that stunt, and they never called it out. So they just basically had a montage of him putting on moisturizer. What are you doing? Yeah. He's like, I've got my moisturizer, moisturizer. And it was always the same bottle in his car. Uh-huh. And it was such a long-term prank that it didn't make the movie. And that was one of the funniest things I ever saw. Yeah.
And that is, I will say also, nobody makes being like the butt of a joke seem more fun than Johnny Knoxville. Like if somebody did that to me, I would be just like, I don't think we can ever speak.
Yeah.
I think we're done talking for the rest of our lives. But like the way he like roars with laughter at that stuff, you're just like, oh man, that guy can roll with the stuff.
He's great. Well, he's the ringleader of it. I mean, they're making a Jackass 4. I mean, God knows now what that will be, but, I'm in. I'm always there. And it oddly doesn't work as well when it's like Action Park, you know, it's like.
Yeah. Any kind of like thematic structure to it diminishes it.
Yeah. It's a bummer because I think what you want to do is you want to have that reaction of like watching these guys like Bam Margera, like watching them react to it. Like when they put the alligator in his parents' house or whatever it is. Yeah. Like there is a part where the audience is on screen and that's so rare too. Like you're watching them enjoy the thing. And that I think for comedy is, it's like seeing with a live audience, you know, like it is like having two live audiences.
Yeah. No, it's just the best, and that would be on my list. So, what is this? Tell me what this Disney thing you did is, the Marvel thing.
So it was, so basically the idea was this. I, very shortly ago, like 3 weeks ago, I was like, you know, I know people are kind of bored right now they're just looking for things to fill the time. Mm-hmm. And for me, I love kind of getting comic book recommendations, and we're just talking about like small businesses, and it's like, oh man, comic book shops, like I wonder what they're going through in this moment. So I had this relationship with Marvel because I did a documentary with them and Disney Plus, and we're just talking about ideas, and I was like, you know, I would love to do something about these comic book shops. Like, how can we support comic book shops in this time? Because they are open and Marvel's doing like a good reach out to like let you know. And so we decided let's do a book club with the idea being, hey, we just talked about cool books. Mm-hmm. Now you can either call your local comic book shop, and have them send it to you, or just engage in your local comic book shop. But they're all doing mail order. So that's like, that was the premise. So I got like Damon Lindelof and, Jason Mantzoukas and, W. Kamau Bell and, Gillian Jacobs, like all these people to come and sit down and just kind of, over Skype, and I have like a whole studio set up in my office. Marvel came to my house with all the equipment set up, put it on my front lawn, and then all disinfected, and then I brought it up and then set everything up, and then like has literally been like setting the camera, setting the lights, focusing it, and just taping the show, which has been super fun. But and for me, I got to get into a lot more Marvel books. We shot like 6 episodes from pitch to the first episode airing was 3 weeks.
Wow.
And it was, so we just kind of knocked it out.
And people can see that.
On YouTube or whatever. Just like, it's called like the world's greatest book club. But,
and the other thing though that you started your relationship with them is
this doc that I can't, I guess I can't speak about what it is about yet.
Okay, but I don't know. I'm honestly asking because I don't know a whole lot. I knew you were doing a thing.
Yeah, so it's fun. It's like I did direct a documentary for them, and it's about like a Marvel character, and it was super fun. They've been really
a teaser.
Yeah, ooh, look at that.
When does that come?
Unknown, but I think late summer. Okay. We were supposed to premiere all of our docs at Comic-Con, and basically the guys who do Chef's Table are doing this series of documentaries for Disney Plus, and they're all, each one of these in the, is called 616. It's like the world that Marvel takes place in.
Okay.
Which you are part of, because I saw your deleted scenes on that lotto ticket to Ant-Man the other day.
Look, I'm a part of the world. I was a bodega worker, and I also was one of Walton Goggins' goons in Ant-Man and the Wasp. I got cut out of that also.
Whoa, so he put you in both and cut you out of both.
I've been cut out of both.
I visited the set of Ant-Man and the Wasp, and it was one of the most fun experiences, because I've written Ant-Man books for Marvel, and I texted Rudd, and I was like, I actually was on set because my friend is the assistant to the Russos, and he's like, well, come and watch whatever became of, it was Endgame and is the last two. And so to be on that set was absolutely amazing. But they're shooting Ant-Man and the Wasp across the way. And it was on the set that was the, basically every, like, you know, where it looks like a bread tag is like 6 feet tall. Like,
yeah, yeah.
So you're in that world. And it was so fun to be like in a living set that was so beautifully art directed. But the best thing about it was, I guess we came there on the day when, well, I know when we came there. We came there on like, when basically they've lost Scott to the quantum realm, right? So everyone is, it's just shocked faces. So there's like Lawrence Fishburne, Michelle Pfeiffer, Michael Douglas, Evangeline Lilly, like just the cameras are just zooming into those like pensive faces. And I was like, oh, okay, like some tragedy just happened, like, because they wouldn't tell us anything what we were watching. It was just like, and I didn't want to know, but it was such a funny, like, it was like, okay, Lawrence, get in your shot. It's like, camera just slowly push in. Mm-hmm. We got it. Okay, Michelle, push in, whatever it was. It was so,
oh, that's so funny.
That was the,
I went to Ant-Man. I was on the set of Ant-Man, and then.
Was that up in Atlanta? Was that in Atlanta?
It was in Atlanta.
So you flew there. He flew you there to shoot your scene.
The first one, I just went down just to be a part of the fun thing, and they were just like, hey, do you want to be in this?
I love that.
So, you know, I was just kind of like, wait, you didn't cast the thing. Like, what are you doing?
I love it. But then they keep it open for people like
loose.
You.
They keep it that loose. You threw the part to me, and 90 minutes later,
I love it.
Through the works. It's like, I would do these music videos for $3,000. I know who's going to play parts.
Oh, yeah. I mean, but that's, well, you were talking about the Marvel budget versus.
And then the next one for Ant-Man and the Wasp, we were told. By Peyton Reed, said uncuttable part, and it was me and Worcester as goons. We had headsets and we're driving, and then it got cut. And then,
well, look, you're building up to the third one, which is going to probably just be even bigger and badder. And great.
Oh yeah, no, there's no way. Look, with my brand, the best thing that could happen to me is getting cut out of these.
Oh, I mean, just to see that still online. Yeah. That's all I really want to see. I just want to see you. I would love you to be the bizarro Stan Lee. You're cut out of every Marvel movie.
Exactly. I just go the other way with it. Just like, hey, maybe a year and a half later somebody could pull some time-coded still out of him in the thing, and like that's the closest we come to the cameo.
Your montage at the end, like in the Oscars, is just you passing the lotto ticket,
sliding the ticket with the headset, driving the car, and yeah, it's one of those things. It's building up. I tell Peyton I want to be one of the people who goes, like, because for me, certain things make you choke up in movies.
Yeah.
I've always been a sucker in any kind of, like, superhero movie. Even going back to, like, Superman 2.
Yeah.
When it would be, like, Superman gets, like, thumped And then the slobs on the street see that, and they're just like, you can't do that to Superman.
I love that moment.
Like, those are the I start crying in any moment where people without powers stand up to the villains after they watch the superhero get crushed. Like in the first Spider-Man movie, I think there was one where it's just like, hey, Spider-Man's our hero! Like, and I'm just like,
the moment that, I mean, it's a little different. The moment that gets me in Superman 2 that you're mentioning is when Superman has no powers and gets beaten up by that trucker in that local bar. Yeah. Uh-huh. And he's like, oh, blood.
He's weak.
And then, like, that trucker, and he goes back there to kick that trucker's butt at the end. Which also seems like petty.
Yeah. It's slightly beneath Superman to go.
I'm going
to
go back there and spin his chair.
Yeah. But just like, man, that movie, these movies, I could, takes nothing to make me start crying at a movie.
Oh, I can cry in a movie in a heartbeat. I love it. I love a good cry.
When all of a sudden it'd be just like, so wait, you're saying, like, you were out here when Gene Hackman's just like, were here, and they were in there, and he just like does the nod to him. I'm just like, he's
I love that. There's so many great emotional moments, and I think that the Marvel movies pull it off really well. Like they do a great job too. It's like,
yeah,
it's the humanity in these characters. It's these like little moments that like make you just like, oh. Yeah. I mean, I'm crying all the time.
Well, though. I want to be the third Ant-Man. You can't do that to Ant-Man. That's my goal. Hey, you can't do that to Ant-Man. I'll be yelling it.
I love it.
Whatever villain. Who will be yelling at?
So good.
Scorpion. I don't know who he's going to be fighting. You can't do that to Ant-Man. Well, look, Paul, you were so generous.
I love being here,
Tom.
Come
out here and to talk. It's so nice to see you. Nice to see anybody.
I know
you.
I love that you're in the neighborhood now, and we were making plans to kind of hang out and even go see a basketball game before all this stuff started.
So maybe in 4 years, when it's safe to sit next to someone at a basketball game, we'll do that.
I love it. So good to see you, Tom. Yeah. Thank you for pulling up to my house today.
Of course, thanks for doing it.
And I know you're going to just jump out and just pop over to Ron's.
Exactly.
Right?
Yeah, I'm going to go up with my Zoom, be like, Ron, got to ask you about
Sacro.
So I got to answer it. Just tell me all about Beauty and the Beast. Let's talk to Hellboy. Do it as Hellboy. Let's do the interview as Hellboy.
He'll finally like unleash it. Then they fucking cast David Harbour in that piece of shit.
Then it all comes out. Yeah. Well, thank you.
All right, thank you.